on. I've got clothes on. What's wrong?
Why are we seeing Rox's tongue?
Scott's tongue. Oh, my God, Scott. I haven't talked to you in 2 months, and that's all you can say to me?
Who's got a battle royale going on there back behind them?
That might be me. Hold on. Let me close the door.
What kind of battle royale?
I know. His grandma's watching WWE.
Is that better?
WWE.
What's your grand watching?
She was watching Big Bang Theory.
Why? Do you watch that, Scott?
No.
Okay, why do we all find it, like, galvanizing? You know what that word means, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just find it, my sister watches it for a certain reason. Why do we need, do we need to use an app?
No, you don't need to. I was just, I have it to control individual volumes. That's all.
Since she's interested in, you know, the symptoms of autism, she thinks Sheldon is, has some Asperger's type thing. But on a whole, I don't like it because it's like it's the stereotype. Why don't you like it, Scott?
I don't know. I've tried watching it, but I don't. I'm not like offended by it. I just don't find it that funny. It doesn't really hit that spot, you know?
It's not well acted. It's just.
I don't think it's funny because to me, they still constantly do the tropes of what nerds do, and I'm doing air quotes.
Which show are you talking about?
Big Bang. Do you watch Big Bang?
I don't. My son watches it, and he loves it. I've tried to watch it, and I find it irritating. And
okay, why do you
cliches.
Why? Yes. Okay. Other than the cliches, what do you find? I call it.
Well, I mean, I think that the cliches are a bit much. And they play them up for laughs, but not in the funny way of laughs. Some of them are kind of mean.
And the thing is,
that's what's bothered me about it. I just haven't found it that funny, and it's, you know. Well, for me, I mean, okay, so you've got Sheldon, who probably has a mild to moderate
Asperger's
syndrome. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's probably moderate Asperger's. That's not funny. You've got the Indian guy who is not funny because they play with all those cliches.
Uh-huh.
You've got the, well, they all have to dress badly. They all have to do this. They have to do that. And it's just very upsetting. I mean, that's
it
not,
is.
It's a Chuck Lorre show. Neither of them are funny.
Well, it's like, I've said this before. Yes, it's like you're playing up your cliches, and the people that make it popular are the ones who did not, who probably sat at the popular tables in high school.
Right.
So I've tried, it was a show, honestly, Hal would watch it. Thinking I would, but he would actually use it like, is this what's going on in your tribe? You know,
no.
Just to get an idea. And I would say,
hey,
no.
You guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
No,
I'm not. It's not registering when I talk like it normally does. So I was just double checking. Okay.
Oh.
Sorry. Proceed.
So, you know, and I would say, no, it's this and this. Now, they do have some really cool guests. Yeah. You know, from, you know, our overall genre group. But I would have to say, no, it's this, this, and this. We don't really do this, you know.
I think that's some of the stuff that gets to me. To me, tropes like that are just not that funny. They never have been.
No. I mean, if anything, it's like, okay, and I know people have problems with Modern Family, but the dad, and even not the dad, but the son-in-law, he's mm-hmm. kind of geeky. He's, you know, there's geek tendencies. It's like, look, they could be anywhere. You know, it's almost like, hey, you know, the whole, you know, this is how gay people are portrayed and stuff. And, you know, it's like, it would be nice to do a geek show that wasn't belittling.
Well, and I think that's a part of it. I think, too, also, and I don't watch Modern Family. I've seen it a few times. The other issue is that they are gay is very secondary to they are a part of his family. They are a part of this family. They have a daughter. You know, their being gay is no more of an issue other than, yes, they're a gay couple on TV than mm-hmm. The other family or families. Mm-hmm. So it's not – that's not what we're all focused about. And I think on Big Bang, the whole focus is look how stupid and funny these geeks are. And that's
– Well, well, quick question. So are we complaining about TV comedies in general? Because so many of them are not funny.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and throw that on that.
Right. No, many of them are not funny. Yes, you're correct.
Because I've seen what I've seen of Big Bang, not funny. What I've seen of Modern Family, not. I think I've seen one funny thing, and I can't even remember what it was. What I've seen of The Middle, incredibly not funny.
Uh-huh.
Even like Raising Hope, I saw some of that. Like the setup is funny, but there's so much of that that is not funny. Like to me. I'm like, okay, listen, if you're going to have a grandparent who has Alzheimer's and you're exploiting her to get her house, you better go dark and funny.
Uh-huh.
Because you're already dark. But if you're just going to go – if you're not going to acknowledge that you're like – you're doing black comedy there, and by that I mean dark, dark comedy, you don't need uh-huh. to be going there. Because there are plenty of shows and movies like what is it? Burn After Reading, the Coen brothers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean Fargo. I mean just like the movie. I've yet to see the show.
Oh, the show is fucking funny.
I have it. I'm gonna watch it. But
the show is great.
But you know what I'm saying? You need to if you're gonna do that, you gotta commit to it. Mm-hmm. So and part of it to me is the whole dysfunctional family thing. That's been done. It's been done extremely well. And it was called Married with Children.
Mm-hmm.
And that was funny because it was new then. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's like nobody's done anything different. It's like they're just trying to do variations on Married with Children. And Married with Children was groundbreaking for its time because it literally was. It's like, what if we took the scathing nature of Archie Bunker and instead gave that to everyone in the goddamn family?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you remember how Archie Bunker was such a landmark character in that he was so awful, and yet they surrounded him with characters to sort of bolster him to say, oh well, we sort of understand you and we sort of tolerate you, but you are really fucking awful. But Married with Children was just irrevocably, you're all awful people, and I'm so glad I don't know any of you, but you're funny. And
they made others awful around them.
What's that?
And they made others awful around them.
Yes.
Yes, their awfulness was contagious.
I saw you this time.
What's that, John?
I caught my kid trying to sneak up on me this time.
Which one caught?
It was the eldest.
Did you use that thing where you had the rope circle on the ground, and when he stepped on it, it yanked him up into the air by an ankle? Did you do that one, or was
no,
it the bear trap?
I put bells on the door.
Oh.
When does the oldest start actual high school?
It's like next week.
Oh, God. 19.
Next week, 18,
19.
Yes,
I know. Welcome to being old, man. It's mine's a sophomore. We're all freaking out. Yep.
So, Widge, let me ask you a question then.
Soon is dating.
Not until she's 16.
Scott, sit up.
Scott, who are you dating? What?
I don't want to sit up.
Scott, you're so slovenly.
That's why you're not dating, Scott, is because you won't sit up. John, what were you going to ask me?
I was going to ask you, what are your favorite sitcoms beyond Married with Children?
God.
U.S. sitcoms.
No, U.S. That's true.
Oh, you're cheating.
Whoa. No, he's not cheating. Hang on.
The first one that springs to mind, honestly, the first season of Friends was excellent.
Mm-hmm. I like the second. Yeah. I liked it the second season more than the first, but go on.
Well, but just from there, they hadn't run out of ideas yet, you know? I didn't watch too much into the second season, but I remember watching the first season and going, wow. It's kind of like if you go back, and I honestly recommend this, is if anyone has not, if anyone just knows ER from like the later, like season 26, go back and watch the first episode. It's fucking amazing.
Right. Before there had been the ER had been blown up 16 times.
Yeah. Before it turned into a soap opera. Yeah.
And like they replaced the cast like 15 times.
God, other sitcoms, U.S.
Chaos Navy.
Yeah, I mean you've really got to go back. Like I hesitate to say MASH because MASH was it doesn't seem to fit. I mean it was
WKRP,
funny, but
WKRP, man.
Oh, okay. Thank you. WKRP.
Yes. Yeah.
WKRP.
News Radio was really good.
What's that?
Which one?
News Radio was really good.
Oh, okay.
I like
sorry.
News Radio, yeah.
Oh, sorry. John Cosby Show.
Cosby Show.
Oh, Cosby Show is good.
Mm-hmm.
Cosby
oh
Show
my
was
God.
Fantastic.
Okay. The first, I've got one. Only because he was awesome anyway, and he just had a roast, is CPO Sharky with Don fucking Rickles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Where, I do not remember that one. That one goes too far back.
You know, I'm going to be 50.
Where
my birthday.
Where do you stand, Widge, or any of you, I guess, first of all, before I go any further, I always have an issue with the first season of any sitcom because I always feel like, because it's a situation, you kind of got to build into your character or feel out your character to get to that point.
Well,
but anyway.
and you kind of have to figure out what you're doing. I mean, that's as we've talked about so many times, networks don't give anybody a chance anymore to figure their shit out. So unless they hit the ground completely running, or it's something like Cheers,
oh,
where you
Jesus.
Just what?
What the?
He
got busted.
Oh,
the second one got him.
It was William! Yay!
The little one got him. Yay!
or it was Ginger.
Or unless they luck into something like Cheers, where, you know, as we've discussed, Cheers only lucked into existing.
Was it the little dog, John?
It wasn't the little dog.
Let me see it.
Okay. The dog's not here.
Whoa.
I mean, your real little dog.
Unless I'm not mistaken.
No. I was just saying, John, be careful. The last time an evil woman told somebody to watch out for their little dog, too, be careful.
Hey, I'm the one with
I
the
I think
body.
So, you need to mark that because not so much do you have your little dog, but it was the follow-up after. I want to see it. I think that'd be a good one.
I'm just glad I'm not the one who said it. I'm very happy.
So,
just give it 5 minutes.
So
I'm
before
back, people.
I did have a general question, which is where do you fall on for Seinfeld?
I sort of fall behind the couch. Oh, you mean Seinfeld I thought was okay. It had its moments, but it never really grabbed me, you know? Hmm.
I think the thing about Seinfeld too is there were certain episodes that I thought were hysterical, but yet overall the four characters in it, at least once an episode, I didn't like any of them.
I don't think you were supposed to like any of them.
You're
to be
not
honest with you.
To like them. That bothers me. You need to like somebody somewhere. I don't know.
No, that's an American ideal. I know we John stipulated not crossing the pond. However, the
okay,
office,
you can Russian comedy sitcoms then too.
Oh my God! Oh my God! There was.
He's totally going to call out a Russian comedy now, John.
Hold on. There was a sitcom with a Russian family in a small apartment, and I think it came on CBS, and I can't remember. The son was in the space program.
Are you thinking about Perfect Strangers?
Grandmother? Yes. I'll have to look it up.
No, it's not Perfect Strangers.
There is one. There is one.
I'm going to open Widge's gift to me right now, though.
Is it a gift?
The one he gave me at Conjure.
Got? Oh, you got the alcohol, the scotch.
No.
I saved the scotch because you guys were all so fucking busy, I couldn't give you any of it.
I know.
I still have it. I haven't opened it. It's so
good.
And hopefully,
I'm a fan of that Fireball whiskey, though.
And Lee, get your shit together by DragonCon so I can feed you scotch.
I'm doing my best, baby. I'm doing my best.
Okay, so I went to look because I have no – you guys know I have no memory. I'm this close to being the Memento guy – to find the most recent sitcom that I enjoyed, and 30 Rock. 30 Rock was consistently insane, and it just really hurt my brain to think about how many of the lines that they said were funny. It was probably the densest comedy writing I've seen in a long damn time. It made me very happy.
I never watched it.
I was into it for a while, but then I really got burned out on it. I was ready for I think the last three seasons. I pretty much just gave up.
I like the first couple of years of Community.
I can't, sir. The thing is, I haven't really watched them by season. I came in after the fact because, again, I don't really watch television live. I got the DVDs later, so I couldn't tell you which episodes I liked in what seasons. So, it may very well have gotten burned out. At least they ended it before they got canceled, so they get some points there.
Yeah, that was good.
But, I like Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec after the first season was really good.
Yes.
Again, John's theory on first seasons.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing.
So I looked up some others because I couldn't remember. Jeffersons.
Oh my God, yes, the Jeffersons. And that was the best spinoff. I think
it was
the most successful spinoff.
Certainly the most creatively successful.
What about Fish, though? Go on.
What?
Oh God, John. Wow.
What?
Yes. Points to John.
Wait, what did he say?
He said, what about Fish, though?
Oh, Fish. Oh, my God. I loved Fish, and I loved Barney Miller. And I think, oh, wait, Brooklyn 99 is very funny.
Yes.
It is very funny, and it is just like. I'm sorry. It is like Barney Miller.
So my wife and I, you had mentioned this before. You had said it. You had made that comparison. It was a perfect comparison. And so I had mentioned that to Sonia, and because she does not like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I said, well, you know, it's like Barney. Come on, it's funny. It's like Barney Miller. And she goes, I didn't like Barney Miller.
Yeah.
I loved Barney Miller. I loved Barney Miller. But I have to say, honestly, I'm trying to sit here and think about, like, what do I watch comedy-wise? I mean, of course, you know, grew up on MASH, but and Barney Miller and some of stuff
MASH.
Like that. I didn't hate MASH. No,
I liked MASH quite a bit, but I didn't like it until I was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. To me, it's hard to classify MASH as a sitcom because when I think about MASH, I think there's lots of funny bits, but I think about the serious bits more. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
well, it got serious in the later seasons.
Well, but not annoyingly serious.
Any of them that Alan Alda directed.
Yeah. when it got preachingly annoyingly serious, but I'm talking about more like the amazing finale. Like the chicken in the finale.
Oh my gosh! Oh,
yeah.
Come on, Newhart.
That has the best finale of
it
any
does.
Sitcom
it does.
Ever.
Yeah. Waking up in the other sitcom. That was awesome.
As a New Englander, my mom's a New Englander. I liked it.
Leaf
really
Peepers.
Did.
Yeah. But see, I liked the Bob Newhart show much more than I like Newhart.
Really? I tried rewatching that recently, and I had issues with it. That was when he was like in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
What's funny is I've gone back and listened to a couple of Newhart's like stand-up albums, I don't think they're that funny.
Well,
weird.
Everything he does is it always has that classic, you know it's him speaking because, you know, it's a lot of times his best stuff is that one-way conversation, like he's on the phone with somebody. It's
right.
Like, hello? You know, he pauses a dozen times before he gets a single line out of his mouth.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with that. It's just I don't know if this was just – I forget which album it was that I was listening to recently, but I was like, wow, this just isn't funny. I mean, it's just like, I felt bad. It's like, wow, it's just, this is Bob Newhart and I'm not laughing. I feel, should, do I have a fever? Am I, am I infected with something? What's going on?
No, I think you have to be in the right mood for it. But the other thing is, though, I think one thing I don't like in a lot of comedy is there is that
vivisection.
That never makes me laugh. But also,
Game of Thrones, best sitcom ever.
There is that kind of embarrassment squick that I have, which is that basically you're laughing because these people have done something so dumb or so embarrassing that you're laughing at their pain, and you're just like, I don't like that. And
Freud.
Yeah, well, sorry, I don't.
Well, that's part of like Brit humor. They love that.
See, and I can't stand it. I actually cannot stand it. So yeah.
Lee, let me ask you. Like, so the plot of every single episode of Three's Company was
absolutely nauseating. Can't watch them.
So there you go. But for our listeners who maybe don't remember Three's Company. Basically, every single fucking episode was somebody overheard somebody saying something that they took exactly 180 degrees the wrong way, and the entire rest of the episode was unraveling person A's actual whatever they want to do versus person B's interpretation of what they wanted to do, and it sort of somehow gets resolved in 23 minutes. That's pretty much every episode.
Do you know – okay, so – I was visiting my brother out in Tacoma, Washington, and I bonded with my niece, who I hadn't seen in forever. She's pretty much
– Is this the one with the talking Barbie?
No, that's Gianna. She's here. No. No, we bonded over – now here she is in her early 20s, Andy Griffith Show. She actually watched the Andy Griffith Show. So we were making fun of my brother because he has like two new coworkers, and they just take everything. He works for emergency management or something like that. And we were making comments like, oh, did you call Sarah from, we were sort of turning it into, because Tacoma's not so big. So we were just sort of turning it into our discussion about the Andy Griffith Show, and Ted works with, Barney Fife and stuff. And that show, I think, still holds up. I really do.
Andy let's see. What? Oh, yeah. Sanford and Son.
Yes.
Was great. Also...
Yeah, but Sanford and Son turned to shit when Lamont left.
Yeah, then they got Grady. When they got Grady. Wait a minute. Oh, here's the question. Red Fox left, didn't he? And then they got Grady. Then Lamont left. Yes, is that how that went?
It did something like that because apparently Red Fox came back and tried to have his own show, and then it. Because Grady was there before. Grady was there with them.
Oh, yeah, he was a supplemental character. But then Grady lived in the house after Fred left. And then Lamont left, I believe.
Fred and Lamont, when they were on, it was great. Mm-hmm. When you lost one of those two, I think you lost a lot of that show's dynamic.
Yes.
Right. I'm looking. Yeah, because there was the Red Fox show, and then there was the Royal Family, which was Red Fox's last show. While I'm looking that up, other stuff. Roseanne was actually really good, even though I don't like her as a comedian. I thought that show was great.
That show was good.
Police Squad. Enjoyed.
One of my good ones. No, Police Squad again. It goes into you're just laughing at how stupid Frank is.
And also for classic stuff, Honeymooners.
Yes.
And I Love Lucy.
Yes.
Have
both classics.
Have any of you tried Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I did. I liked the first season, and then they were just all right. For Lee's reason of not liking Seinfeld because she didn't like the people, The people at It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they're just fucking filthy. It's just like, I feel like they're covered in Philadelphia grime.
Not Philadelphia cream cheese?
Yes, and they're just, well, maybe throw that in and it's rancid. And
yeah,
there's nothing funny about Charlie. He's just gross all the way around. And there's those cringe funny bits, but it's just like, oh my God, you people are just, they're just pushing the envelope, but it's just like,
Well, I think there's also, you have to have some kind of a connection to somebody. If you were watching All in the Family, you had to feel for Edith or Gloria or Meathead. Trying to get Archie to realize how terrible he is, or I don't know. But you don't have that in certain shows like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I pray to God I'm not like any of those people. Those are the kind of things.
Don't they all hang out in a bar though?
They do.
They own a bar. They own the bar.
Well, they own the bar.
Yes. And it's
a nasty bar.
And the thing is,
and there's never anybody in there.
I used to deliver newspapers to a guy who was a bar fly. And there's nothing funny about a tavern that's just gross like theirs at all. You know, I never really liked Cheers just because of that reason. You know, okay.
Cheers got old.
What they were, you know, hey kid, yeah. Where's my paper? You know, I didn't even know the guy's name, you know, but I just delivered newspapers to this bar fly at the end of the bar. Weird.
Okay, so here's what I found out about Sanford and Son. I think, from what I can tell, I think the confusion is that Red Fox left the show when it ended to basically do a variety show, which then collapsed. And then they came back and he did Sanford, which was just basically him without Lamont.
So it's a Jay Leno story is what you're saying.
What's that?
It's a Jay Leno story is what you're saying.
Kind of, but without the lasting success afterwards, because it only lasted two seasons. And then he revived the character again for Sanford Arms, which was one season. It only did eight episodes, of which four are unaired. So basically here what I found was they were going to continue with Lamont solo in Sanford and Son, but Demond Wilson, who played Lamont, left the project. So Sanford and Son just sort of ended. And so they brought him back as Sanford and then brought him back again as in Sanford Arms. And the fun bit is Grady apparently had a spinoff, which I did not even know.
Oh.
Let's see about it. 10 episodes. Canceled after 10 episodes. But he did return. He went back to Sanford and Son after Grady ended and then appeared in Sanford Arms.
Huh.
But that's almost as
I see that basically tells you the whole story right there. None of us knew that there was even a show called that.
Yeah.
And all of us are kind of the, you know, nerdy, geeky onset. Someone here should have known that. That's how bad it was.
But I will say this. Sadly, I do know there was a Dukes of Hazzard spinoff called Enos.
Yeah.
Oh.
So one season.
Didn't all right. Didn't everyone get a spinoff from Dukes of Hazzard?
No.
No.
Was Enos the only one?
No. They had a Enos was the only one. Now wait a minute. No, there was a pilot. Somebody else had a pilot. Hang on. I know this.
Cooter had a pilot or something.
No, Cooter did not
because he left to go do – he started in politics pretty soon.
Yeah. Hang on. Somebody else had a – I swear to God, somebody had a pilot that did not get picked up. Shit, who was it? I have no idea.
The dog.
No.
Flash had a spinoff.
No, I knew this. Ah, fuck. No, wait, no. I would like to point out, Tuffley, you're confusing. If you've seen the latest Flash pilot, or if you haven't, that is a DC Comics Flash, not Dukes of Hazzard Flash. Granted, I think it might have been better had it been the Dukes of Hazzard Flash.
Yeah, the Sheriff of Hazzard County's dog? Really?
In some aspects. But, although I will say, if there's not
a... I thought that's who you were calling Arrow now. Sorry.
Roscoe P. Coltrane is Arrow.
See, now wait, wasn't there a... I thought there was also a Roscoe spinoff. Maybe that was the pilot?
There was some... Fuck, what was it? There's a... Hang on.
The internet knows, but
I know. You just have to ask the internet in the right way.
But
you know?
speaking of the internet, they reminded me the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was a really good. Sitcom.
Except there was the awkward one that had Gilda Radner in it.
No, that was the Scary Shanley Show. That's a different show.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. All right.
It's the Gary Shandling show where he's a talk show host.
I did not know that. Mm. According to the Dukes of Hazzard wiki, which is sometimes right, apparently Dukes of Hazzard was inspired by the 1975 film Moon Runners, where apparently people were running the moon.
I didn't know this.
This is the sequel to Moonraker.
Damn it.
Which knows all about, considering he is Hugo Drax.
I am Hugo Drax. This is true. I just want to see the League of Extraordinary Dukes, in which Coy and Vance Duke join up with Bo and Luke Duke, and they solve crimes. I think that should happen.
And Daisy has to make a cameo.
Daisy flies the helicopter.
Oh, nice.
Hell yeah.
Sort of like the A-Team with a chick.
Yeah, because that worked.
Well, no, technically, isn't that what Trixie did in Speed Racer?
Is it?
Didn't she fly the helicopter?
Ooh.
Oh. Wow.
God, did anybody click on the picture I put in chat?
No.
We never click on those, Scott.
Don't do it. It's cute.
No.
It's
Scott,
not,
with you,
it's safe for
roulette.
Work.
It's cute.
It's a baby
Scott.
For Ravens.
Put that way.
Okay, since no one's going to do that, we can talk about Oktoberfest beer.
Is it out?
It's back. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is.
Yay.
It's even on the West Coast.
Is it on tap?
For now.
What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of...
Dr. Jen showed up the other day with a 12-pack. And I was like, I love you. And then I said to Jen, I love you too.
Well,
it's all about timing.
I know, goddammit. Of course, the internet is...
full of signs.
Scott, there's not enough porn for you.
What about taxi and soap?
Never!
What about taxi and soap?
Soap was
I like
round,
taxi more than soap.
Yeah.
Hey guys, can I just say, because John shared what he's drinking, I went and got like two Thai coffees with no ice.
Oh, fucker.
And I put it into I put a picture on Facebook. It's a giant like. Which large plastic cup filled with ice and filled with Thai coffee. I'm going to be so fucking wired.
Although, Benson.
Oh.
Okay, what is Thai
I'm
coffee?
I'm so happy.
Have you ever had Thai iced tea?
I have, yes, but I like Thai coffee better. Thai coffee.
Shut up.
The tea that you got.
I've got tea, look. Tea from I don't know. We went to barbecue.
Well, Rox, when we went to when I picked you up that day, and we went downtown. Was that Vietnamese or Thai tea?
That was Vietnamese.
Okay.
Which good. I must say that your nails are very well manicured.
Whose?
Widge.
What?
I said your nails are very well manicured.
Oh, this picture, another one.
This picture. Well, at least your thumb is.
That's well, you know, I concentrate on my thumb. Because I hitchhike a lot.
Have we officially graduated Scott White on becoming a father?
What?
Scott White, congratulations. Well, get this. So
I didn't know we just did. Did we have to approve? People, I didn't know we were doing that.
We're Scott, certainly not in charge of that.
Just so you know, Scott White is now the director of procurement for Spaz House. Just so you know. And congratulations to Scott and Heather for their new baby boy, Odin. That's correct. Huh. Odin Timothy White.
Awesome.
Yes.
And he just got him a pair of toy ravens.
Yes.
And can I just say that means that somebody needs to send him the coffee, which is my favorite gifting coffee ever, which is called Odin Force, which is from the people who brought you Death Wish coffee. Good stuff.
I think it's great that this child, when he's a grandfather, he could be the all father.
Well, I wonder if they have another kid, would they name the next kid Thor? Because then they'd have to get the next kid Ghost.
He said
this one Raven.
Right. He said no. Heather said no on Thor, I believe, because that was the first thought.
Partly because it was
apparently,
just weird.
No. Apparently the name, they have a thing because we don't have, you know, John has kids.
I think I do.
It passed the yelling the child's name across the house. So it was like, Odin Timothy White, get over here. So apparently it worked. So John, you have children. Let's hear the house name.
The house name is William and Jordan. I treat them like adults.
You have to throw in the middle name and you have to yell it out, just like
the
I did.
The scolding yell?
Yes. Go on.
Well, I don't really want to advertise my kid's full name on the interwebs.
Okay, make one up.
And then
make
we need
the
their
middle.
Social security numbers, John.
Oh, no, John, because you have intercoms, you don't need to yell.
They're always behind me. I just never know it.
Or they're just stalking you, so you don't have to yell.
Okay. They're like
William Jebediah Boutel.
Yell at his kids.
Better yet, John, pretend you're your dad and yell out your full name.
Jonathan Kirk Boutel, get over here.
Oh, God.
So I can smack you some
ever.
More.
That just didn't work. Gosh. Sad.
Okay, here's the sad thing. So Rox, I just went and checked. And obviously, naming the next kid Thor would not work because Thor is the son of Odin.
Right.
And so therefore you need the siblings of Odin. But unfortunately, the siblings of Odin are Frigga, Villa and V, no, and then Honir, no. So no,
Honir!
They are all no.
Honir!
Voldemort! Stevenson!
Yeah, see?
Odor.
See? You'd never name a child any of those. Odin is the right choice.
Yes.
But now Odin can name his first male child Thor. Well, I guess Marvel has changed that, and regardless
his daughter.
Of sex now, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, can you retcon Angela?
Or his first pet frog.
Right.
Wait a minute. Now, try this, though. What if, like, you go for, instead of other Norse gods, what if you went for, like, say, the next child is named Zeus? So you went to the next father of the gods.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Or Jupiter. There you go.
No.
Jupiter!
No.
But Rox, what if...
Because you're going to have some smart-ass kid saying, what is your middle name, Uranus?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, Zeus then.
I got to pop
this stuff with.
Zeus!
No.
I think Zeus is the better choice just because it's not three syllables. Names with three syllables start to get in the way.
Also, then you start to get into the Zappa book of naming.
Oh, wow.
He invoked Zappa.
Next, it will be Nazis.
I hate those guys.
I hate those Nazi Zappa fans.
Oh, they're the worst.
Frank never would have liked that.
No.
No, it's only the first three albums for them.
So Scott White has an inside to a store. Get this.
Nazis ripped my flesh.
A supply store where you can buy periscopes and iron lungs.
So, Rox,
if you want to hear about this, come to Dragon Con.
So, Rox, you are going to see, Rox, here's what I can see you doing. I can see you taking an iron lung, okay, mounting it on a bike, and then putting a periscope coming out of the iron lung so you look like a fucking sub cycling down the street.
Yes.
That is your armored zombie cycle.
Now, here's the weird thing. In order to get a discount, you have to buy 12, and then you get the 13th free.
What? What?
So she has a fleet of zombie bicycles.
Exactly. It's the craziest store.
Oh, my God. This sounds amazing. What is this store? What else do they sell?
It's got to be a surprise. I got to save it.
All right. Oh, Rock, speaking of which.
Can we mention this thing or no?
What thing? Which thing?
The Monday. Can we mention it?
I don't know. Ask Lee. Lee wanted to talk to me.
Lee's gone.
Lee's gone.
Where'd she go?
Let's wait, because Lee wanted to talk to me.
All right.
But Rox, I will say this. I was going to send you a note, and then I figured I'd bring it up on the podcast, because I can just edit this part of the podcast out. I was trying to type a message to you earlier today, and my phone auto-corrected your name, Rox, to Zurich. Now... My question is, was this a message about your next heist location or what?
Okay, just so you know, when I play Illuminati, Steve Jackson game, I always play Gnomes of Zurich.
Well, there you
always.
Go.
Uh-huh.
So that's another one of your aliases.
It is, yes. The Gnomes
that's
of
what
Zurich
it is.
Are the money.
That's why it auto-corrected to that, Widge.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, because obviously Siri is tied into the Illuminatus, so that only makes sense.
Correct.
Uh-oh. Ringy. Ringy.
One ringy dingy.
Is this the party to whom I'm speaking?
I don't see anybody.
Hello?
Is everyone, who's seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Me.
Yes.
I have not yet. I got up to Snowpiercer.
Oh, okay. First, Rox.
Yes.
What did you think of Snowpiercer?
What?
What did you think of Snowpiercer?
I saw it twice.
Nice.
I saw it twice because it is the quintessential science fiction movie. Okay. As far as it ranks up there with Gattaca, as far as a science fiction movie that does not, you know, have to draw in a lot of Hollywood bullshit stuff.
But
and go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody else that's on here that has not seen it.
And it didn't make me cry.
Well, that's good. But it had the basically through the whole thing, I was going. Man, because normally Chris Evans, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I see him in a film, I don't clue into the fact that he's Chris Evans, right? You
right.
watch him in The Iceman,
correct.
You would never know that was Chris Evans.
No.
Even Scott Pilgrim, where he looks mostly like Chris Evans, I didn't clue into the fact that he was Chris Evans.
Right.
But but they used the fact that he looked so much like Captain America Chris Evans to deliver that awesome hero speech at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was amazing. I was like, why is this? And then they got to that speech and I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yes. Yes. And Tilda Swinton is fucking amazing.
She's incredible.
She is. I mean, for her to, she's, you know, she could do, have you ever seen I Am Love?
No. What is that?
Okay. It was, I think, the last item that Ebert said she was ultra fantastic in. It's a foreign film, okay? She plays, get this, a Russian housewife, upper middle class. I mean, rich, we'll just say that. She speaks Italian in a Russian accent.
Well, she was the producer on this as well.
And she is, it's very... Oedipus complex type thing. So it's a very strict drama. However, she's fucking amazing in this thing.
She's amazing at everything.
But, you know, I want to get the next time she does an art install where she's sleeping at the MoMA and stuff, I am going to fly there like overnight just so I can watch her sleep. That's you know, what she did one time. It's like,
no, I know.
Tilda Swinton sleep.
Well, see, here's the thing. I have really been impressed with her. The first time I remember seeing her was Orlando in 92.
Yes.
Where I was just like, who the fuck is this? She's incredible.
And she made, I hate to say, she actually was the one that made, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe bearable.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed.
And
Only Lovers Left Alive is really good too.
Oh my god! Need to see. Yes, it's on my list. I need to see that.
I toughly, sadly, it was here for like 3 minutes, and you managed to catch it. Well done.
Yeah,
but I really like Snowpiercer.
It was good.
It's a good commentary on.
Oh, I just lost you guys.
But I really like Snowpiercer.
It's a good
commentary on humanity.
Yes.
Very good. Along the lines of, you know, if you look at Richard Matheson's.
What?
Or, you know,
we
Richard.
We can hear you, John.
We can hear you, John.
We can hear you.
I've got clothes on.
Can you hear us?
Okay. Well, the soundboard's working, too.
Well, Rox, was this before or after you did a lot of train riding?
Oh, okay. That is my one problem about this movie.
Oh,
okay.
God. Oh, God.
Here we go. Okay. When you're on a train, and I have been on I've been probably on hours on a train about...
Properly. Not counting the improper times.
Rox, I would say you've probably been on trains more than most people in the country today.
About, I would say almost 100 hours. Okay. And it's like getting sea legs. And I know they couldn't do it. But it's like when they show the outside shots and the damn things rattling around and stuff. And the only cool thing that they did was every once in a while they'll have like a car move back and forth, and that does happen. It's very disconcerting when you're walking through a train to get to another car and stuff. But there's a lot of movement constantly on a train, and the weird thing is towards the end when they're saying it's so noisy up here, and I know they can't do that because of a film, but it would be kind of cool if they did that, because they did it in Star Trek Next Gen. Because if you had like a stereotype TV, you can always hear the ship from the inside. You know, the humming of the Enterprise. They could have done that with this film. It's a stickler point as somebody who has traveled quite a long time on several trains.
Well, the only
And
thing
there's a lot of weird having to know how to balance. You know, that some of the items that they were doing in the fight scene, just, I know, after riding on trains, and you're talking Amtrak can get up to about 70 miles an hour, I believe. And, you know.
Well, I mean, but part of it for me was that the fact the train was just, I mean, the whole thing was symbolic. So none of it was like,
and you know what?
Really
it
real.
Reminded me. It reminded me of the near perfectness of 12 Monkeys, as far as dystopian type future.
Well, and I think Cosette brought up that it was a lot like it reminded her of Brazil.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That sort of creating a completely ludicrous world, but yet holding it together with its own rules, so that it works because you don't sit there and go, there wouldn't be an aquarium on the train. You accept it. And part of why Tilda Swinton was so perfect was why, and I think I said this in the review, but I have no memory, so I have no idea. But basically, you're in the back of the train, squalor, awfulness, and she shows up, and she's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She's so insane that you sit there and you go, okay, whatever's beyond those doors must be fucked up if she's the representative. So
yeah.
She actually prepped you for the craziness that was to come. The more I thought about that film, I was just so incredibly happy with how it was structured and
mm-hmm.
how it was the framework of it. It was just so perfectly put together.
Yeah.
So
And it's one of those films, to me, I can see where it will go Criterion in a number of years.
I could agree with that, yeah.
Where it will always have a niche. You know, there will be a niche cult for it, not necessarily everybody jumping on this. Because, like hardcore science fiction in general, that's even a smaller niche for people reading, you know, that type of stuff. So you're not going to have, you know, it's certainly not a date night film to go
what
see.
What was the book it was based on?
It's called Snowpiercer. It's a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. Now, was it French?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So of course you got, you know, the sensibility, and you have to look at like French literature and, you know, like the worlds of Mobius.
Oh, Mobius.
So it's, you know, okay, then from there, it's like Fifth Element. You have a lot of French influence on Fifth Element. Again, that works because here is the world. It is absurd. These are the rules you go by, and that's why it's a fun movie. It's not as hardcore, but you believe it.
Well, and Fifth Element had the feel because Gaultier did the
Oh my God! Yeah,
design.
Yes, yeah.
The amazing costume design. So anyway,
didn't Mobius have something to do with the look as well?
I'll look it up. I don't think so. I mean,
were they based on it?
I'm sure it was inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, it's Luc Besson. So I mean, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you? Oh, wait! You are absolutely right. I was looking at Mobius, but Mobius was hired for production design. So yes, you're absolutely right. Under his actual name of and I'm going to butcher this, Jean Girard, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking under the wrong name. Before we lose anybody else, so Guardians. So was everybody – I mean, Rox, you haven't seen it. Everybody else has seen it?
I haven't seen it, yeah.
Scott, you've seen it?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so everybody happy? What was the reaction?
Well, speaking of, like, Fifth Element, I actually saw Lucy the week before.
Mm. Oh, I
And I kind of thought Guardians made up for the kind of Fifth Element sort of freak-out thing that I expected Lucy to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, can I ask, is Lucy sort of like, what was that? What's it? What, Unlimited or
Limitless.
Whatever? Limitless?
Yeah.
Was it similar to that?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Really? Because the trailer painted it as such.
Hmm.
And can I just say, I really enjoyed Limitless, so...
I did too.
Can I just say, weeks after I've seen this stupid movie, I still can't make any sense of it whatsoever.
No, but
of Lucy.
But is that
of Lucy?
But is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because sometimes it can. Sometimes
I
that
hear,
can be a good thing.
I expected
more from the film. We got to the end of the film, and I said, okay, well now when is the film going to start?
Now here's the weird thing: is you're not the first person I've heard use the word stupid. It's like people are like, I like it. I like the stupid film. You're not the first person to use that term.
So Tuffley
I just didn't feel like it actually started it. You know, we get to the credits, boom, credits, and I'm like, oh, they started the film. Okay.
I get. I'm sorry. Are we? Should we like click on to John so he could?
Now we lost Scott.
He's kidnapping people.
John keeps pinging me.
John doesn't appear to be on.
No, he's not, but I'm recording, so.
Okay. All right.
Oh, should we?
I have no idea what's going on.
It says ready to join, and there's Scott and John icons on this other window.
It's the Google Hangout slasher film of the week.
I know. We're dropping off. Oh, my God. It's
don't be the next victim, Rox.
Agatha Christie thing.
Don't be the next victim.
All right. I won't click on it.
It's like Rox is like in Scream, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
So Guardians.
Guardians.
I enjoyed the shit out of it. I don't know about
that
you guys.
That was so much fun.
I did too. I enjoyed it. Before I went and saw it, I had seen other people post about it that they had seen it, and a lot of them said stuff like, this is the best Marvel movie they've made. But I was kind of, I didn't quite buy that.
I won't go quite that far.
I would say it's probably the most fun Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Avengers was fun simply because there is no film that has
done that.
Well, basically, not to be indiscreet, but given me the nerd boner that Avengers did. No film has managed that. The glee I felt from Avengers was more of a, holy shit, I can't believe I just watched that. Whereas Guardians was just fun. And what I've recorded a Way Home.
Is it fun in the way of like Buckaroo Banzai was?
Kind of. But less quirky. Buckaroo Banzai was very quirky because it doesn't have bits like what's the watermelon for? I mean, it doesn't have that. But it to me rocks. It was, and I put this in the Way Homer, which I need to render and get up. It reminded me, and Serve Tuffley, you tell me what you think of this. It reminded me of all the films that came after Star Wars, late 70s through the mid 80s, that were just the cheesy sci-fi knockoffs. It's like somebody went back and did one of those. Properly.
Most of the canon sci-fi films, yes.
Yes.
Oh my God, there was a ton of those.
I know.
Oh my God.
Well, that's like I said. Yeah. I said after I said in the Way Home, where I said if this because this is done, when I looked as of like yesterday when we saw it, 313 million worldwide. Mm-hmm. I said I can't wait for somebody to announce that they're remaking Battle Beyond the Stars. You know.
Yeah.
Got
yeah. Oh my
God. You know
God.
What I mean? Like Metal Storm, the destruction of Jared Sin. I mean, come on, people. If you want to remake some shit, let's go crazy, you know?
Oh my God, Laser Blast.
Oh
really
wow,
bad.
that is hardcore.
Well, you know, you were trying to resurrect Krull while on the last show, so I'm sure that would be announced.
I wouldn't say we should. Now, I will say this though, Tuffley. Krull the animated series, I'm all over. But Krull the remake,
really?
Not so much. Oh yeah, because you could have fun with it. Because
Farmers,
it would be
exactly.
Farmers,
trouble,
and if I did that, Rox, I would hire you to be the voice of the narration for Firemares. Rox is that Rox and guest starring Rox's Spaz House as Keeper of the Firemares.
Oh man!
If you get that off the ground, I want to do voice acting. So you.
Here's
keep
the thing: it's when you consider Krull had all the, you know, it had Liam Neeson, ooh, Freddie Jones.
Yes.
I mean, it had good character actors before they did anything.
Holy
and it
shit!
Was,
I haven't seen Laser Blast in forever. I remember this now.
Oh yeah!
Thing. Oh my God!
I actually watched the MST version of this the other day.
Oh. Yeah, that one's good.
What was I gonna say? Oh, so I don't know. I thought the 3D was really good. We saw it on IMAX 3D.
Let me break in for just a second because John just pinged and said, "Hang up on the other hangout."
Okay, are we then switching to another thing? What's happening? What are we doing?
I think so.
It's the one, he wanted. Yes.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well. We'll do that when you guys get over there. For fuck's sake, somebody send me a link because I don't get the links for some reason.
Okay.
All right, good luck. We'll see you on the other side.
See you on the other side, Chief.
Where is everyone? Let's try this.
Hey, there you are.
Yeah, there you are. All right.
What happened?
Well, I was trying to add you from a different way in, and it blew up things and made things go boom, and now... everyone's lost in space and time.
Oh, sure.
I'm not even sure where we left off, except that we were talking about some lady that was sleeping in a museum.
Tilda Swinton.
Sure, that's her name.
Yeah.
If you insist that's her name, I will believe you.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Wasn't your fault.
Yeah, I know, but still.
I blame technology.
Okay. You shouldn't do that, though. It should work all the time.
Does everybody else know to come over to this side, Scott?
I think so.
talking about it. That,
hey, Scott.
Hi. They were talking about, but I don't know if how successful they were in either knowing to come over and also getting over and stuff. So
were they still talking? Let me ask you this. After I left, did the call continue on?
Yes.
So basically it's like the Titanic.
Break out the girl from Ipanema. Oh God.
I mean, I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Maybe. But see, if it kept going, they don't may not even know.
Right.
Okay. We gotta get Widge a link.
Or do we?
So hi everybody.
Hello.
Again. Well, Rob, hi.
Rob, have you seen Guardians yet?
We were talking about Tilda Swinting. Swatten.
Well, we were talking about Guardians.
Swoopin'.
You mean the
Well, if you're talking about Guardians, nobody heard it.
Well, Widge has been
we
recording.
Did.
So what do you think of
that? Yeah, he's got
it.
A button.
They heard it.
We got a, who's the number? Who's that number? 1-3.
God, this script is so fucking complicated this week, Widge. I gotta tell you.
Well, you know, when I visited Doc, I asked him about that, and he's like, well, we're adding some Greek and some Latin, so I think you got the Samoan text there, sir. Who's well, that?
And no,
that?
No, we cannot, John Widget Robinson.
Is Widge talking to us now?
Why is he on the telephone?
He's asking, can we hear him?
How about now?
No.
Yeah.
Now we can, but you're far away.
Okay.
Near.
Now you're near.
Far. So far away.
Far. Yeah.
This is near, and this is far away.
Near.
Oh, it's Rob.
Rob. All right, how about now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Now he's near.
For some reason, I don't know why, normally when I talk, I can see the little green dots on me saying, oh, here's your registering on the thing. But I'm not registering at all, so I never know if I'm actually talking.
Well, you had to run in from another room, so, you know.
That's true.
So, quick explanation.
Yes?
I was trying to add Rob from via Skype into here, and then that's when everyone went silent. So really blame Rob, even though earlier I said I'm not blaming him.
I would ask him about 4th of July.
I blame fucking Hydra.
Damn Hydra.
Fucking Hydra. So anyway, so John, have you seen Guardians?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Rob, have you seen Guardians?
Yes.
Okay, so Rox is the only odd.
I'm fine. Don't worry.
No. It's,
they win in the end, Rox. I spoiled it for you.
No, they all die in the end.
They all die and come back because it's Marvel.
Okay.
No one stays dead.
You know what? You know what, Widge? It's gonna happen.
I know.
And everyone's going to buy it because nobody – who the fuck would have thought that a talking raccoon would be so good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, I was just saying that – explaining to Rox, and I think I heard from Serve. I didn't hear from Tuffley, but I thought that it had the feel of one of those late 70s to mid 80s sci-fi – cheesy sci-fi, we must get the group together to go fight this thing a la Magnificent Seven sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, actually done properly with a $170 million budget.
So it succeeded, yeah. Is what you're saying.
I think so. I had a hell of a good time.
Yeah.
I think
well, Gunn is also...
You go ahead, Rob.
What's that, Rob?
Well, Gunn is also very much a comic guy. Mm. He's also a guy who likes... because he did Super, which is this other really sort of fun comic book movie he did. And he very much is into sort of that period because that's when he grew up and read comics. And you can kind of tell that he has sort of a passion for it and he wanted it done right. You can tell that when you see it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting. It's kind of like when you saw Super, you're like, boy, if this guy got a budget, he could do a seriously good comic movie. And now you're like, yeah. So
well, now what I will say is this: is that if you have not seen before even Super, there was the specials. And I don't know how many people have
seen
the
specials. Oh, I saw the specials.
Yes, I love the specials.
That is a fantastic low-budget superhero film with Rob Lowe and Seth Green. And
yes,
Seth,
it's great.
Seth Green has one of my favorite lines ever. Jamie Kennedy, sorry. And Thomas Hayden Church. And Seth Green – I keep saying Seth Green. Sorry, Jamie. I know he listens. Jamie Kennedy has the amazing line, "You're 12-stepping me to death here, bitch."
Yeah.
Which is funnier in context, I promise.
Yes. And they, you know, he's from here, so they showed that at the film festival here.
Nice.
And he did a Q&A, and the Q&A was originally supposed to be all about the movie, but it ended up being all about him liking comics.
Nice.
We just started talking about all the comics that he did and that he read, and literally it was like they couldn't get him to stop talking about comic books. It was really funny.
Nice.
But yeah, he's definitely a fan, and he's going to be at Dragon Con.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
It's crazy. I'm just confused at why he's still coming. It's weird, isn't it? I mean, doesn't it seem weird that somebody that has this huge? I know that they just announced Gilliam coming again, but I mean, this guy just had a. Doesn't he have more important things to be doing? Shouldn't he be sitting down writing Guardians of the Galaxy 2 right now?
It's already done.
He might
John.
Be filming something. He might be filming something in Atlanta, and he's in the neighborhood, and this
is
some extra scratch.
True, because Pinewood is here now, and
mm-hmm. Oh, the Pinewood Derby.
Batman here.
Wait a minute, you guys have Pinewood Studio?
Yeah.
You have Pinewood Derby?
That's where they're shooting Ant-Man. Rocks.
Wow.
Wait, do you know where it is?
No,
I think it's
but
in Kennesaw.
Cosette might, because she said she'd seen the sign. For it.
So, I've seen the sign.
I think it's somewhere else in Kennesaw or something like that.
I don't know about what, Rob, I have no idea what you're talking about. Talk to me after. So,
yeah, Rob.
Oh, and can I say that the two things that I was worried about the most, which were Dave Bautista, who is great.
He's awesome.
Yes.
And Lee Pace, nice guy.
Yes.
He is from Pushing Daisies, right? I'm remembering this correct.
Yes,
right?
Halt and Catch Fire.
And catching Halt and Catch Fire.
And and the the Tarsem film. Not The Cell, but the other one. Fuck.
Yes. I know.
He is not a big dude, and yet somehow he worked as Ronan the Accuser. I was like, how is that fucking possible? But it worked.
Yep.
The Fall. Thank Fox. Okay.
Speaking to your point, you know, this was, I think everybody would agree, this was Marvel's biggest risk that they've taken on. And
yes.
If Guardians fell flat on its face and was out of the theaters by now, I think that would really change Marvel's trajectory.
Yes.
Especially after Spider-Man 2.
That's not Marvel.
Not technically.
Oh, yeah, it's not technically.
It's Sony, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Spider-Man 2 is Sony.
But mm-hmm. I think that if Guardians would have fallen on its face, there's no way – you probably still get Ant-Man, but there's no way in hell you'd get Doctor Strange or maybe a new Daredevil – some of these things that they've recently got the rights back for.
Yeah.
Well, now Daredevil's going to Netflix, so that's less of a risk than.
Yeah.
Than a
well,
new.
That's Disney true, film. But I'm talking about big screen stuff.
No, yeah, but I take your point. I mean, this was the biggest risk, and I liken it to, because remember again, what we don't appreciate, I think, on this podcast, is that nobody fucking knew who Iron Man was, right? I mean,
the general population.
The general population.
Yeah, they did. It was an Ozzy Osbourne song,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's what they thought. I swear to God, because if the general populace is going to watch the Pacific Rim trailer and think it's fucking Transformers, then they're going to hear Iron Man and think they're making a movie out of the song, because that's fucking happened with songs before. So,
yes.
But I think what Marvel has been very smart in doing, which we've discussed, is that they are big on whereas DC is like, hey, we've got people in spandex. Marvel is like, fuck that. What genre do you want? Because we fucking got it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, because this was their first full-blown sci-fi thing. And
Toughly, you might know this. Wouldn't this be like the most successful non-already established sci-fi franchise film in fucking forever? Because really, if you think about really successful sci-fi
sequel,
yeah, non-sequel, non-franchise, like not Star Trek, not Star Wars.
But I think you got to say this is falling into the franchise. I mean, it's Marvel superhero.
I would say it's probably the most successful thing of that ilk since Fifth Element.
Was Fifth Element really successful?
Fifth Element was successful.
Yeah. I can't believe that. Really, I mean, I think it's really good, but I think it's one of the movies that has a cult following.
Yeah. It's got a cult following. Yes.
Yeah. This is not.
Well,
cult,
it was
though.
More successful internationally than it was domestically. I think the international beat it up.
Okay. So here you go. So, sorry, real quick, Rox. I think the only one that does it better, and this is actuals and not, I haven't adjusted it yet, would be Avatar, obviously. Okay. And as far as like space sci-fi shit.
Yeah.
No, even that, because Back to the Future, I wouldn't count. I mean, sci-fi, but it's not space sci-fi, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm going to look up the.
Well, Pacific Rim wasn't established though.
Yeah, but it did poorly.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
it didn't have a great box, did it?
I keep thinking. Actually, I don't think of it as doing poorly.
I know.
Box,
well, basically, you're because China brought $80 million to the table, and saved it.
Yeah, we're getting a sequel because of China.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly right.
Thank you, China.
Yeah, thanks, China. I mean, you know, I'm still pissed off about the whole tainted dog food and shit. But you know that this goes a long way towards helping me not fucking hate you.
Although one of the showings at Guardians I went to, I saw a trailer for the cartoon Del Toro's doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, here's the thing. To me, that reminds me a lot of, and this is going to be weird, but what was that DreamWorks? Was it DreamWorks or Fox that did the caveman thing? The caveman family?
Oh, DreamWorks, the Croods.
Yeah. Just like the Croods, there is nothing in the art design or character design for Del Toro's new animated film that appeals to me in the least, and I can't put my finger on why. I don't know why, but it doesn't work for me. Now, that's probably just me being weird, and I admit that.
No, I didn't like how it looked either. It reminded me of all the reasons why I didn't like James the Giant Peach when I first saw it, because I couldn't get past how it looked.
Really? Huh.
And then I had to settle in.
But Henry Selick's art decisions for some reason work for me, whereas this does not. But it's something I cannot put my finger on why, but it just seemed really – maybe it was because it was so busy, because my brain just went, ah! It just felt like my eyes were bleeding.
It's like Sky Captain.
Oh, no. Sky Captain was gorgeous.
Weirdly, they shared it with
Sky Captain, but it's one of those films nobody knew what to do with.
But I don't think Sky Captain had nearly the box that this did.
No, it failed. I was trying to compare it to another one that was not – I'm comparing it to almost like Fifth Element.
But it's weird, the trailers they tried to pair with Guardians, because I saw, what was it, the Hero 6 one?
Which was a good trailer, by the way.
Which is a good trailer. And it's interesting, because the previous trailers for this, they hadn't made the Marvel connection, but the one that played in front of Guardians finally threw it out there.
Which I thought was smart.
Yeah.
I think it was smart to save it. Because I would be amazed if the trailers not attached to Marvel films left it out. Because the
earlier trailers had played the Frozen Wreck-It Ralph connections.
Yes, but I think they're smart in keeping that separate, and making sure that that's its own thing and not anything to do with the MCU. It's just inspired by Marvel, because they don't they're being smart in not trying to do too much too quickly. I think that's actually smart of them.
But it was very weird, all of the trailers. They paired that and the Del Toro thing, and then Interstellar showed up, which is like, that was it's good, but it's a strange one to pair with those.
Well, no, but it makes sense for Guardians because, I mean, deep space travel, I mean...
Yeah.
It makes sense from an executive point of view. And personally, I was so fucking happy to see that trailer on IMAX. I cannot fucking wait for that movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
What?
Sounds like a disagreement.
No. I said, oh, that's going to be interesting, that film.
Oh, yes. No, okay. It is because, I mean, like, let me put it to you this way. If it was not for Christopher Nolan... I would be sort of like, maybe. And even with that cast, I would be like, maybe. But I'm like, oh, it's from Christopher Nolan. I will go watch anything that fucking guy does. Uh-huh. Okay. Considering the only film of his that I did not like was not his fault, and that was the Insomnia remake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and I don't believe that was his fault. Now, I was looking. I've got up the adjusted numbers for box office. Here's how it goes for... first films or non-franchise related films talking about space travel and shit. And that is a genre, space travel and shit.
Oh, otherwise known as,
well, STAS, right? So number one, obviously, is Star Wars with 1.4 billion lifetime gross.
See, that's cheating, though, because he got to add numbers back in with the remakes.
No, not remakes.
Re-releases,
just yes.
76 release.
I'm sorry, unless Han shot first, it's a remake.
Okay, I don't. Okay, unfortunately, sir, well said. I do not have the. Unfortunately, Box Office Mojo does not have the original run on Star Wars. I don't believe. But so taking that as read, that is questionable. Next comes in fourth place, Avatar. Okay.
Okay.
Then. Jurassic Park, no. Back to the Future, no. Star Trek the Motion Picture, that's the first one, which sort of was tied to an existing franchise, so maybe not, but that's in 13th place with 267 million.
All 4 hours of that.
Yes. Okay, now, let's see. Okay, WALL-E is in 16th place with 254 million. That sort of counts.
Yeah, I'd say that counts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me that one.
Yes, the original Planet of the Apes is in 21st place with 202 million from 1968. And then the next thing you have as far as first time films is 24th place Guardians of the Galaxy, 177 million domestic.
And rising still.
And I think that's going to have some really intense box office because that has great rewatchability. You know what I mean? I mean, just I want to fucking go see it again.
I'm wondering how many cosplayers we're going to see at Dragon Con and Groot.
I've seen a ton of Groot on Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, did you see that there is a dancing Groot toy already that somebody made?
Is there? Okay. Is there an official one? Because Kim wants that.
There's not an official one yet, but you can't tell me there's not going to be by Christmas, as well as an orb Christmas ornament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't tell me there's not going to be. Now, I was just going to say toughly, it's already opened everywhere smartly. It appears that. I'm trying to get the where it's doing the best worldwide is 23 million in the UK, followed by, and this is interesting, 13 million in Mexico.
So they're both other than the US. The US is the top of the list, right?
Oh no, US is quite US. It's done 181 million as of yesterday.
So the US is really pushing all of its money.
Well, yes.
Does it sound like it's getting much international box?
Well,
not yet because it just started opening in some of the markets.
Is
23 in the UK big?
No. Hang on. Now, China and Japan, it has not opened yet.
That's what I thought.
Ah.
Big so audience. Those are going to be huge. I don't know. I would be for example, and that's a good question, Serv. Like, it's done 140,000 in Croatia. Is that good for Croatia?
Right.
I don't know.
That might be the best movie that's opened in 10 years in Croatia. So.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Because when Janet and I were in Prague, one of the things that we went and looked around at a couple movie houses just to see what was playing. And surprisingly, one of the top grossing American actors in films in the Czech Republic is Vin Diesel.
Wow.
They love him. All of his movies open at, like, number one over there. So, and it's mainly because, one, he shot his movies there. Two, he's done, like, beer commercials there. I mean, we watched two or three commercials where he was in over there. And so that's part of it, is certain actors have a niche audience in certain places. I know, for example, for the longest time, and any time that he made a film, when Billy Zane, like when they put out the Shadow, Billy Zane did like huge gang-busting movies with that in you know, Greece and the area around the Aegean, because he was huge in that part of the world. It's just a weird, freakish thing that sometimes you can't get.
Europeans have their strange little likes, like the Germans in Hasselhoff.
Yes, it's not just, yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Well, and, yeah. And to be fair, I mean, I just want Vin Diesel to be successful enough, because I just want another Triple X movie that's good.
Yes.
Because, see, when Triple X came out, remember when Triple X came out, we didn't have the new Bond, we didn't have Bourne, we just had shitty Bond movies, that was it. And I was like, yeah, hey, this is actually really good. And I was like, no, no, don't make another fucking Pitch Black. Go back and do another one of these. Oh, damn it.
Although, Widge, did you see the trailer for the Pierce Brosnan spy film?
Which one? That looks really good.
Which one?
Was it The Master or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Although, I do. Now, what is it? Most Wanted Man? Isn't that the Philip Seymour Hoffman, John Le Carré?
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. That's really good.
Can I just say, having watched the trailer, I was like, Hoffman does not sound like himself at all. That accent is amazing. No.
It's, yeah, and he carries the whole, yeah, he carries it in the whole movie, and he's relentless with it. I mean, it's, yeah, it's pretty good. That whole movie is really solid.
Is it The November Man?
Yes, 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 it's The November
Man. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I have not seen the trailer for this. Is this good? This looks good.
This is Pierce Brosnan and another Pierce Brosnan. It could have been a really good Bond film, except it's not a Bond film.
So put another way, is this the Thomas Crown Affair with more explosions?
God, it looks like it.
Yes.
God, I'm totally on board with that, because I fucking love the Thomas Crown Affair.
And it's ranked, you know, because the movies that sort of need a suave and sophisticated guy that's like a spy, you get Pierce Brosnan. If it's a movie where you need like a man of action who kicks ass and take names, then you get Liam Neeson.
So what we need, you know what we need, Rob?
You need a Pierce Brosnan and Liam Neeson film?
No, even better than that. What if, guys, seriously, imagine if you did a sort of highbrow version of The Expendables.
Oh my God.
Liam Neeson and like fucking Sean Bean and Pierce Brosnan and, you know.
Simon Pegg could be in it.
Oh, Simon Pegg should be the villain. Are you fucking kidding me? Mm-hmm. I would love the shit out of that. Just, okay, you know what it is, Rox? It would be the movie Ronin, but done properly.
Ooh.
Because that had such potential. Oh, by the way, that means that Jean Reno should be in that. Yeah, he should be in that too.
Yes.
I think that should totally happen. Although, can
Speaking
I just
of
say?
Highbrow,
oh, go ahead, Rob.
Speaking of highbrow, you guys heard the rumor about Roger Moore being in Doctor Who.
Wait, what?
That happens every season, though.
Well.
And can I just say, for two seasons, you guys started that rumor, so fuck you.
No.
So what is the rumor this time?
Well, it's just that he's still in it. Someone mentioned it at one of the world tour stops that, you know, Roger Moore's supposed to be in Doctor Who, and he's like, well, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to happen. You just have to wait.
And can I just say that it's going to be very, very hard for Roger Moore to, as many roles as he has played, and to be honest, he was the James Bond I grew up with, for better or for worse. But to me, you're going to be hard pressed for him to bypass his performance in Cannonball Run.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So, that was awesome. Anytime somebody basically is sending up themselves, especially when they're supposed to be, you know, fairly serious, I'm like, I love you. which is why I loved all of the character actors in Hot Fuzz. Like,
yes.
like Edward Woodward and people. I'm like, I'm so glad you're in this. You cannot know how happy this makes me.
I know.
But I know that you all have been wanting to talk about this. The elephant in the room is this, is that no. We don't want to talk about this because I don't want to bring the podcast down. But it is true that I did purchase blue raspberry Twinkies.
Oh. The
blue raspberry cream filling. Yes, they exist, Rob. They were at a convenience store. They just had them. They apparently had all these various. Yeah, and I tried one.
Are you sure those?
All right. What is the last time they had them?
That they were.
Rocks. It tastes like despair. That's what it tastes like.
Which Travolta film is that?
That's most of them, Rob.
Oh my God, that could be Travolta's next film, Blue Raspberry.
Blue Raspberry Despair. That's my new Blue Zydeco deathcore group.
Awesome.
Speaking of which, if you guys have not seen the country group from Finland performing their cover of AC/DC's Thunderstruck.
Oh.
It's fucking amazing. No. Rocks?
Yes.
One of their instruments is an anvil.
Who is this? What is this group? I got a piece of pepper.
Hang on. You got a piece of pepper?
Pepper, yes.
Hang on. I will put a link into the chat. I find it. The name of the group is Steven Seagulls.
Oh.
Hang on, let me find this. So where is it? Okay, yeah, here you go. I'm putting it in the chat now. I'll put a link for our listeners. Oh, bye, sir. Sorry, I'm leaving.
Bye.
So I'm trying to think. So what else? Here you go. Is anyone watching The Strain?
Oh, that's Del Toro's thing.
I've got them all, but I haven't watched them yet.
It's okay. It's a guilty pleasure thing because
I've heard it's a little slow.
Slightly.
Stay with me.
Slightly, toughly. I think more the point. It's like there's so many things they could have done better. This won't spoil anything, but like. If you've got – and, of course, you guys know that it's basically like vampires, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's – okay. So that's not a spoiler. It's pretty much out there. If you've got characters that can move fast as hell and are deadly,
uh-huh.
Which is scarier – this is a pop quiz for you guys on the podcast. Which is scarier, having someone walk into a room – and then walk way into the room up to a weird thing sort of undulating on the floor, which no one would fucking do, and which gets up and attacks him, or walking into the room, seeing the thing on the floor, which you can clearly see undulating on the floor, which you can clearly see is not natural, and then doing what I think any of us on this podcast would do, which is going, I am getting the fuck out of here right now. Or at least staying back at a safe distance, and then you blink and the thing's fucking on top of you. I mean, which is actually scarier to you?
Well, obviously, I would have Instagrammed it, in which case I would have been dead already. So,
wow.
That is the right answer.
All right, wait a minute.
Anything that happens, I have to take a picture with it with my fucking cell phone.
Okay, so one is getting up close to it, just like in Game of Thrones, right?
Not even like Game of Thrones, because to me... In Game of Thrones, I have yet to see somebody do something. Okay, Rox, it's like
well, there
this.
Was that one time someone went into the bathroom, but no, never mind.
Oh, hey! You should have thrown the bolt. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
All really right, so, okay, going up to the thing that's so, undulating.
Right, walking right up to it, Rox, right up fucking to it.
No.
Yeah, or holding back. See, to me, it's scarier if you do the right thing and you're still fucked. You know what I mean? That, to me, makes more sense. And it's stuff like that where you go, okay, this entire building has been cleared of all life.
but it's an office building where people work. And where people come and go, and you're telling me that it's been abandoned because of vampires for 24 hours and no one said anything?
All right. See, this is what I do in Call of Cthulhu.
Tell me.
You go down to the basement, okay, and you set the fucking building on fire. Every single game I've ever run, a town is engulfed in flames.
You were here lately.
So, pro tip for listeners. Pro tip for listeners.
That was like last month, sir.
Pro tip for listeners. Next time on the next Rocks of Spaz House North American tour, do not let her LARP Call of Cthulhu. I'm just saying.
No, Rox's tour ended Motley Crue. That's what happened.
She set fire to Motley Crue?
She set fire to Motley Crue.
Well done.
It's White. It's White Lion.
You are a hero. Hey, actually, when you set fire to White Lion, they become Motley Crue. That's their secret origin.
How about they turn into Asia?
Whoa! If I thought we set fire to White Lion, they turned into Poison.
You know what? Here is a new life goal for somebody. But not me, because I'm too old.
I had an 80s band back in the day.
No, even better.
If you set a Danish metal hair metal band on fire, what happens? That's a Mr. Wizard experiment.
They turn into candy.
What? Turkish delight? What?
Oh, God. This stuff is awful. Have you ever had that stuff? I will eat bottom feeder candy.
Yes, she will.
Yes, Rob knows. His wife knows. Anyway, Turkish Delight is like the worst thing. I'm sorry. I'm the witch from Narnia. Here's some shitty candy. Go get your sister.
Well, admittedly, that does loop us back to Tilda Swinton. So.
Really?
Yeah, but see, Rox, that is testament to how good an actress Tilda Swinton is. Is she said it with such conviction that he liked the candy.
I'm talking the books, honey.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying. There's
nothing to save that film other than Tilda Swinton.
I know. And hey, Rox.
Yes.
Be the shoe.
Be the show. Be the show. This is the butt. Be the shoe.
Oh my God, Rox, you just gave me the best idea ever. That's probably not the best idea ever.
Here's a horrible idea, though.
Rob, don't forget, we both wanted to press the basement button, so there we go.
The basement button, what?
The funny thing is, Rox is a French.
All will be told.
Rock's sake.
Hey, Rox, the funny thing is that Frank did the same thing last week.
Inside joke.
Well, okay. Can I just say we've lapped ourselves. If there are inside jokes within the inside jokes within the most inside jokey podcast on the fucking internet, we've gone meta to the point where our heads are up our own asses.
Do you know what?
On
my tour, I got handed a script from Dindrain, and I had to deal with an inside joke in Minneapolis. That's 3 years old.
Isn't Minneapolis an inside joke?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Only the Prince.
No.
But then there's other parts, and it all has to
Charles
deal
Schultz.
With coal gum.
Yeah.
Coal.
Birthplace of Charles Schultz and Bob Mould. Oh, no, Paul Westover. Sorry.
Bottom feeder coal gum, kids. Yeah.
Ooh.
Anyway, I want to create a band specifically to open for Asia, and I want to call it Land War.
Oh, okay.
Would you call it Risk?
Hey, Rox.
Yes, Rob.
Only if I could. Only if I changed my name
That's
to Chuck the Jones.
Mark. No. Okay. All right, you redeemed yourself, Rob. Yeah.
And Tuffley, you could be the bass player, and you can change your name to Urkatusk. Urkatusk Smith.
That would be awesome. On the Temple of Doom.
Awesome.
All right, Rob. What? Go. Go. You have a few seconds.
There's no way it's going to happen. But I made a Xerox of the zine, and I left a note for John Waters at Atomic saying, we'd love a drawing. Here's a self-addressed stand envelope.
Oh.
There's no way it's going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. But I'm just saying.
Man, we didn't make it filthy enough.
Just saying. Could. That's why. And
when you were in, when you were in Baltimore, did you go to Divine's grave?
No, I thought that I honestly didn't think they buried him there. I thought he was spending time either New York. Really, I didn't know that. See, there you go, kids. There's some stuff I just don't know.
Just a few feet away from John Wilkes Booth.
Wow. Huh. Well, that's appropriate. Oh, I saw the documentary, I Am Divine. I don't know when that came out. That's really good.
I haven't seen that.
It's good. It really is good because they actually show some of the stuff of his live shows when he was touring constantly. So it's on Netflix. It's streaming. Check that out. I think it's really, really freaking good.
What we could do for 9,000 fist bumps is we could get Scott to dress
Rob, you're bringing up.
Yeah, that's better. Is that better?
Yes.
Yep. So for 9,000 fist bumps, can we get Scott to dress up like Divine?
No.
Can I just say that when I do my reworking of Riverworld, the two starring characters are going to be John Wilkes Booth and Divine.
Oh, yeah. Hey, where did Scott go?
I don't know.
Maybe he was kidnapped.
Well, when we went across the Rainbow Bridge between calls, I think he dropped off.
Oh, yeah.
Be careful
about
that.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, my God. That means he went to Kansas.
That means he's hanging out with Idris Elba.
There's a Rainbow Boulevard.
Wait, Idris Elba's in Kansas?
Yes.
Yes. He's singing Carry On My Wayward Son.
Dust in the wind, man. Dust in the wind.
No. Hold on. That's 5 hours away. What's he doing in Kansas?
He's talking to the landlord behind my house.
I think he's doing King of Speed, too.
He's hanging out in Tomb 19.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm not going to get a straight answer out of this.
Too obscure for you two guys. Sorry.
Absolutely not, Rob.
Too deep a cut. Too deep a cut.
Did you just say do something funny?
No, I said that it would be too funny if I drove all the way to Kansas and asked everyone, hey, where's Idris Elba?
I would love
a grand quest for Idris Elba.
Because generally it's not a good idea to go around Kansas saying, hey, I'm looking for a black Englishman. That's not really an appropriate thing.
Wow. Wow. Well, there you have it.
Sorry, Kansas. We were trying to get you to sponsor the show, but sorry.
That's all right.
It happens.
Oh, my gosh. So the NBA confirms that the Clippers have been sold to Steve Ballmer. There's your sport news of the day.
Oh, that guy's going to make the guy from the Mavericks look like a saint.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Such a dick.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea. That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Cuban is insane, but this other guy, the Sterling guy, he had to go.
Well, Mark Cuban's insane. Steve Ballmer's nuts. There's a difference.
Yeah. All right.
Now, is he going to move them? Is he going to move? Is he keeping them in LA or is he going to move them to Seattle?
He cannot move them.
Oh, okay.
So part of the deal was that he couldn't move them. But basically, the idea was that he was basically trying to show, I really want to buy a team. Because he was trying to buy the Timberwolves.
Mm. Yeah.
Originally, he was trying
to. Failed.
Yeah, originally he was trying to buy the Timberwolves, and that failed. Because if he had bought the Timberwolves, he would have moved him to Seattle. Because he was also in the group that was trying to get, at one point, the Atlanta Thrashers. Yeah, the Jazz. He was also trying to get an NHL team. Because at one point he had offers after the Phoenix team and the Thrashers.
That could still happen.
Yeah.
That could still happen, too.
Yeah.
One of the Florida teams could easily go.
Well, they've got a stadium built. They've been trying to get an NBA team and an NHL team in Seattle forever. Him and Paul Allen.
Minor league, and like whatever the AHL hockey team there is, like, huge.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But that was where it was originally coming from. But he has no problem with keeping them in LA because it's a prime market. And I think he was explaining it today, going, "Yeah, it's a good buy. I have a lot of cash. I wanted a ball team." So, done.
Wow.
Yeah, plus no matter how much he messes up, he can't be as bad as the guy before him.
No, no, he can't. As insane as Steve Ballmer is, he's not that crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I do want to see, though. I do want to start adding it up. We know Mark Cuban's fines. I wonder if there's going to be a fine competition now for yelling at referees and such.
Oh, I'm sure there will be.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, is which Bon Jovi might buy the Buffalo Bills. And
you break it up again, Rob.
Okay, Ridge, have you heard that Bon Jovi might buy the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
And move them to Toronto. Ooh. Right? So he's the one guy who wants to buy the Bills. The other guy is Donald Trump. And Trump's like, I'll pay cash for them.
You know who actually reported on that? Was Daniel Radcliffe.
What?
Get this. So I'm at John Boutel's house, and we're watching, I don't know, they DVR all the time, so I don't know what time out of the day anything comes on because they're all watching in the day.
They have no windows. And
I know. It's all covered up and whatever. So
dystopia.
I can't even remember what show it was, but apparently Daniel Radcliffe was coming into the U.S., but they had to go through Buffalo. Okay? So the only thing he could relate to was he knew about the Bills. So he kind of he reported, I think it was a late night show, but they were watching in the day. So that sort of screwed everything up, considering I just was still dealing with jet lag. So I have no idea. But that's when he mentioned that everybody in Buffalo are really unhappy that they might move across the border.
Well, yeah, but they've been playing home games in Toronto for couple of years, right?
I know, but it's sort of funny. Daniel Radcliffe's like, really didn't know what the hell I was saying. I just said, you know, what about the Bills? Just to be nice. It's like, what about the Bills? And everyone like, oh my God, they're going across the, you know. So that's what I found out about it. John's weird house of television viewing.
Which is.
I want to steal their little dog, though. Ginger. She's cute.
Your little dog.
Yes. Oh, my God. She's their napping dog, okay? Get this. What? So Sonia, John's wife, it's basically – John's got Emma, okay? I'm snitching on John. And she's the beagle dog, okay? And then there's – Ginger, and she's like this little chihuahua mix thing. Basically, she's like the family's napping dog. You know, if you are in a horizontal position, she will jump on your chest going, oh, good, you're going to nap. So I was going to take a nap outside near their pool, okay? This is funny. So John's like, oh, hey, I'll turn on the fan. I'm like, oh, okay. So a few minutes later, Sonia comes out, and the dog's sitting on my chest, and I'm petting the dog, and she looks like she's gonna fall asleep. And Sonia comes out, and she's like, "So, you're gonna nap out here?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Are you gonna be okay?" And she keeps looking at the dog. Okay, I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'll be fine." She goes, "I see John turned on the fan." I'm like, "Yeah, it'll be nice." And I'm petting the dog, and she's looking pointedly. This is Sonia looking pointedly at me and then the dog. So eventually it's like, do you want your dog? And I just handed her the dog, and she got this smile. She goes, she's my napping dog. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I don't want to steal your dog from you. Anyway, yes. So
they thought you were going to abscond.
Kept saying I was going to. My saddlebags would fit the little dog. So
traveling from town to town and kidnapping dogs, that was your tour.
Well, you know what? Lance, Rob's friend, has Lola, which is their newest beagle, and she is adorable. Yeah, I was going to steal Lola, too. So go to town, just stealing dogs. And then there was the woman, Rob, remember the woman at Vincent Price's house? She had this lovely dog named Faith.
loved me, that the owner, they've got a sign saying beware of dog, okay? This dog,
which we ignored,
yes, and the dog wouldn't leave my side. So we're talking to this little Asian woman, and she is like, she's talking, but she's like, what the that's my dog. Why is my dog clinging to you? That's not right. I mean, you can just see this upset this woman. So yeah, I can go town to town and just steal dogs, like this weird canine Pied Piper. Or from my favorite scene in, what is it, Seven Psychopaths? Or was it Seven?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Christopher, I can be the Christopher Walken character.
Right.
Can
I just say, if no one has the, this must exist, but if there isn't a gif of Tom Waits petting a bunny,
oh
just continuously petting a bunny, mm-hmm. then there should be.
There should be.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Make that happen.
And Rox?
Yes.
Rox, that day will forever be known as the day we Watergated Vincent Price's house.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. It's awesome.
I've seen her twice, like out in the neighborhood.
Oh, do you wait?
At the grocery store.
Yeah.
I saw her once at the gas station and I waved. And she sort of made this terrified face. And she was like, that's the one that was in Vincent Price's house. And she goes, and only my husband would know that.
You know, I probably traumatized. I traumatized Janet, okay? Just so you guys know.
No, you didn't. No, you did all right.
Years ago, when you guys came to visit here in Florida, okay, Rob and Janet are not even in my house 5 minutes when I say, hey, do you want to see a hobo camp? And she just had this look like, oh, dear God. Like,
yeah, but you took her to Brian Seltzer's house, so it's fine.
Well, this is true. However, it was a true hobo camp, of which was designed by the Olmsted Company and
yes.
who designed Central Park. So it wasn't all bad, but that is when Janet realized that Rob and I will get into trouble every time we're together. And she's fine with that, I think, except for that last time, 4th of July. She's not happy.
Well, part of it, though, is
Kim's fault, because the first Need Coffee people that she met in terms of girls was Kim and Tuffley. Kim took her to an IKEA. And she's like, oh, well, I guess all the Need Coffee people are fairly normal and don't do a lot of strange things.
See, that's why does this always come back to me?
Wow.
You know, and so yeah. And so it was fine. She didn't have to post any bail, so that was good.
This is true. It's true. Yeah, though the 4th of July, man, that was
that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Hey, well, have you seen the Necromancer lately?
Yes.
I haven't got my job in healthcare.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, just saying.
Yeah, we took Rox to a bar called The Fortune Teller that has a fortune teller there.
Yes.
And, of course, Rox is like, oh, no, you're wrong. Oh, no, you're wrong.
she told me about this.
My God, it was like a giant worm ball of confusion. Really was. It's like, what? Okay, what part of my trip out of the United, what quadrant of the United States will my trip end early? I don't know. But I'll get a job in healthcare. Yes. Really, you're that adamant. Yes, by the end of the month, I was waiting for somebody at Conjure to say, Miss Henkel, we have a job for you. In healthcare.
You're waiting for Mark Shepard to say, I know at some point I'm going to get punched in the face. Will you please come and help me with a job in healthcare?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, technically, if you had to put on a Band-Aid, you've technically, you know, you've provided healthcare.
Yes. And Rob's friend is Slip Mahoney.
Legislation.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is weird, Rox, because apparently there's some lines that I didn't know this until because we went back there a couple days later with a different friend. But sometimes they won't read hands because of something called simian lines, where you don't have two lines on your hand, they can't read your palms. And I told the woman, I'm like, okay, I bring one friend here, you get it all wrong. This one you can't read their palm. What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh my God, you told her?
You know, I expect better customer service from my palm readers.
Well, she laughed. Yeah, she thought it was funny, and she explained.
You know what? I actually told the woman, I'm like, you know what? You are entertaining. You gave me 25 minutes of entertainment because get this, she did she just kept shuffling cards out in a giant circle, and at one point there were three cards that popped up, and I'm like, hey, those three cards kept popping up. She goes, yes, that indicates that I need to reshuffle. Okay, there you go.
Did you win the hand, though? Because that's important.
Well, you know, when the hanged man comes up, you have to reshuffle the entire deck.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. She was entertaining. She really was. So.
And really nice, yes.
Yeah, she was nice, yes. But she's the necronomancer, as your friend Slip Mahoney says. That's what I call your friend. What is it, Jeff?
Jeff Sass, yes.
Yeah, I call him Slip Mahoney. Cause of you can tell him that.
But the other fun thing we did, Rage, is we spent a whole afternoon going to Mexican grocery stores.
Oh, my God. I can't.
It was awesome.
My favorite line from Janet is, I need to get the taste of sponge out of my mouth. And you can use that on the soundboard.
I dare to say it. We can put it in the soundboard. I'll just turn it on.
What?
I'll have to get her to actually say that again so we can have it on the
We can have me saying it, but yeah. But Janet's was really good because Janet really knows how to do deadpan because she has to because of you.
Yeah, and it was funny because she's like, Kim and Cosette and Rox are all very different. And I said, is this good or bad? She goes, no.
No.
And I go, well, I'm waiting, honey. I'm waiting. She's like, I feel more secure with you around some than one in particular. And I said, hey.
Oh.
Like, well, one of them I'd probably have to bail you out of jail.
Oh, man, no way. You'll never get caught. Tell her that. I've never been caught. Just say that. With conviction.
Knock on wood.
Well, yeah, I got a wooden table. I know. Anyway, so we're trying to set something up for Monday for Dragon Con. Working on
for what? So what up Monday?
The last, you know.
Okay. I thought.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, Lee dropped off, so it'll happen. Something will happen, you know. So even if I have to do it as a shadow puppet show, I'll do it. Can you imagine that? Here's his house. Yeah. Short amount of time. So you have martial law in – okay, just so you know,
not
St.
Yet.
Louis.
Not yet.
The people –
there's a no-fly zone, though.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's on my Facebook page.
Wow.
Yes, the FAA, yeah.
St. Louis is –
yeah, I thought it was just the Cardinals.
Wow. It's for drones, too. St. Louis is the land of refined sugar. Yeah. There's a lot of sugar candy at that place.
Rox, I found a new soda tonight, and I just boxed it up.
Oh my God, there's like a shit ton of like bakeries and candy shops, soda shops.
Because we had a lot of Italians and German immigrant groups come here, so they had German bakeries open first, and then the Italian bakeries came later, and it's just sort of stuck as a.
Can you bring?
Gooey butter cake.
Yeah. Well,
I thought of that already.
Butter cake or one of those butter butter gooey buddy or butter donut for Widge.
I'm trying to get Strange Donuts to ship. They won't do it, and I said, trust me, I can make sure it goes to good use. We'll write about it. We'll give you press. And the guy's like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, all I have to say is that Voodoo Donuts, we have no problem getting donuts for every year. And so now that was my impetus. So I'm trying. I may have to ship it all down to Widge just so it has one place to go, one place where I know it won't go. But Widge, I got you a bottle of that stuff. So.
What was that soda that's made there? Spankies or?
Fitz's?
Yeah, that's good soda. Yeah.
But I found tonight, Rox, I found Link Martindale Lemonade Cola.
What?
Yes.
No way. How did you put his name onto something like that?
It's a soda with a big picture of Link Martindale on it.
No, I want one. You need to get me one.
Well, which ends first?
I'll share it with you, Rox.
All right.
So, does it taste like the corner square that's usually the dragon?
Well, it's Wink Martindale soda, but it tastes like Bobby Eubanks' clothes.
Wow!
Oh, wow. Man.
There's a whoopee
kids
joke.
Ask your parents.
But I'm not
kids,
going.
Ask your parents.
Oh my God, Rob, did you ever see, real quick, the documentary about Monty Hall's Taylor?
No.
I can't remember what it was, and it was before IFC turned to crap. But Monty Hall never wore the same blazer the entire run of Let's Make a Deal.
I remember you saying that before.
Anyway, it's really fascinating because, I don't know, since we've brought up Wink Martindale, but, you know, I've been watching some Let's Make a Deal stuff. But it's really interesting because it's this old tailor in Hollywood. And I thought of trying to look it up when I was in L.A. and I didn't see it. So I think they're
dead. That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway.
So.
Toughly say it.
Wow. So we've gone from Guardians of the Galaxy to Monty Hall's clothes in 25 minutes.
Here you go.
Welcome to Weekend Justice.
Sorry. We're into the game.
I'm not going to spoil this, but I couldn't figure out who the voice was at the end.
Oh, yeah, I had to look it up.
Oh, okay. So somebody has finally given that up. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Remind me. I'll tell you offline.
Okay.
But yeah, that was unnerving and unexpected.
Oh, okay. This we can talk about. Babylon 5 feature film apparently on its way.
Hasn't that been on its way for like...
Well, this time...
Is it 1996?
It has. However... I think Straczynski has. No, here's the thing. A lot of the people want to come back.
Well, they're just going to recast the whole thing with younger people.
Two have died.
Because I went to Katsunis's wake.
Rob, say again, you're breaking up.
Oh, I went to Andreas Katsunis's wake.
Oh. Okay, there you go.
He's from. Oh, Rox, I forgot to show you where he lived, but he lived in the neighborhood where I live, and his wake was like literally the funeral home, like four blocks away. So my friend and I are like, well, let's go. Let's see if any Star Trek people are there. And basically, you know, most of the B5 people are there, and I got to see Peter Jurasik again, and it was like really actually very pleasant and cool and.
Wait, weren't you the one that told me the story where – who told me that he would sign anything?
Yes.
And he was signing autographs at Maria Sirtis's wedding?
Yes.
Who – did you tell me that?
Yeah, I've heard this. I probably did tell you that.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Somebody
said something about the wake, making sure things weren't being signed.
Yeah. Just literally, he just didn't think, you know, I mean, I've never seen the Dragon Con signing stuff for free. people come up to his town, buy an autograph, and they're like, oh, it's $25. I don't have that. And he goes, what's your name? They just sign it and give him a picture. I've never seen him do that.
Is that – who's got the static? Can everybody hear that?
I think it's Rob. It's all Rob.
No, I – hey.
Scott's not here, so I have nobody else.
Well, John's picture came up when that happened.
Oh, John's probably watching TV with Sonia.
Yeah.
So
–
So basically now – we're done with Marvel until Avengers 2, right?
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter.
Oh, well, I mean, as far as the films go, but yes.
Yes. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, when did the Netflix stuff start happening? That's 2015.
And we're not getting a Hulk movie, right?
Not yet. I don't think they've announced one.
And let's see, they have, what was it, 5 dates that they don't have movies attached to yet?
Is it only 5? Look it
up. Well, they haven't officially did they officially announce Strange, or have they not yet? Or we're just all assuming that that's what they announced?
I don't think they have officially. I'm looking.
Because the only thing that they have officially announced is Guardians 2.
Okay, wait, no. According to this... According to Wikipedia, which is always right, you got Ant-Man July 17th. Well, first of all, Avengers 2, May 1st, 2015.
Yeah.
Ant-Man July 17th, 2015. Captain America 3, May 6th, 2016. Doctor Strange July 8th, 2016. And Guardians 2, July 28th, 2017.
Okay. See, I don't recall them officially announcing Strange.
Let's see.
I've heard rumors, but...
Strange got name-dropped in Captain America, and that's about as far as it got. But I haven't seen...
June 20th, Feige told Total Films at Cine Europe in Barcelona that filming will start in spring 2015... and casting will be announced soon. By the end of July, Joaquin Phoenix entered talks to play Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Wow.
Because, see, I didn't recall when that got official.
Yeah, I think in the blitz of geek movie news, it may have gotten lost. Yeah.
And then the weird thing is DC threw 9 dates out. Warner threw out 9 dates that are DC Comics-related films.
And did anyone give a shit? Because I can't remember.
Well, no, because here's the problem, and I think we talked about this a bit at Wizard World, and we will probably talk a lot about this at Dragon Con, but DC's trying to do it in one film and then split it up and do it in several different films. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, but that's Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't understand that it was Christopher Nolan that gave them Batman and not Batman.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob,
well,
that...
see, here's the other thing, too, and the thing that I look at is Ninja Turtles did $65 million. The fuck? That wasn't even – I don't know. I'm not even going to go there, but – Ninja Turtles – and I think that was the kind of what I said at Wizard as well, which is – people are going to go see Ninja Turtles whether it's bad or not.
And they've already announced the sequel.
Yeah.
Rob, is that you? Is that the static is you? Or
I don't think so. Well, some of you guys are clear.
Coming up, so I don't know.
Yeah, let's see. $65 million. And globally did 93.7.
I know. That's really depressing.
But here's the thing. Has anyone seen it?
No.
I wasn't into Ninja Turtles the first time.
Because, I mean, to be fair, yeah, I mean, the Rotten Tomatoes is atrocious for it. But, I mean, you know, I'm willing to, like, suspend disbelief and wait until I actually see it, if I do. Just because I have seen so many films get absolutely panned, and then I go see it, and I go, what the fuck was wrong with this?
Well, the way I look at it is, Michael Bay and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, two tastes I don't really like, so why would I go?
Well, he just produced it, right?
He had a lot to do with it, yeah.
Okay.
Because I think he technically wrote portions of the script and
well, you have a point, because this is Jonathan, and I'm going to butcher the last name, Liebesman,
yeah,
the director, who also brought you Wrath of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's
and
the thing,
Megan
though.
Fox is the human.
Well, but here's the thing. I will say this. Battle Los Angeles was not as bad as people made it out to be.
Yeah.
And he did direct that. So I'll give him that. That didn't get a fair shake, I don't think.
But you said even then you liked the concept more than the actual film.
Well, that's true. Well, but I mean, but I think part of it was that I think it was – I mean, it was exactly what it was supposed to be. And I think maybe the trailer didn't do it justice, where it's not Independence Day. It's literally more like I'm trying to think of I'm blanking on
because District 9 kind of felt the same way.
Well, the only problem I had with District 9 was it Shawshanked itself. It had about 30 seconds of Shawshanking going on at the end.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I really enjoyed it. But in Battle Los Angeles, I'm trying to think of it looked like it was going to be some sort of found footage Independence Day, when really it was a war movie.
Yeah.
where you focus on one group and you don't see the bigger picture. And part of the problem was I felt like shoehorned it into being more like Independence Day, because it came down to this group to solve the problem.
You know, I may have thrown this out at the time, but it seemed to look a lot like Call of Duty, the movie.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, offhand, I'm like, okay. I mean, to me, those games, they have to be movies anyway, because I can't fucking play them, so.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, the joysticks were built for insect aliens. That's just how I feel.
Yeah.
Well, I always have this thing, if whenever somebody tries to get me to play a Call of Duty game, that I never get that far past the little training mission where the sergeant walks you past, you know, the weapons training. I always want to shoot the weapons trainer. One person in the game I can't shoot.
That's let that be Tuffley's character note. I always want to shoot the person I can't shoot. Tuffley's not violent at all.
I want to break the game rules. I just want to shoot the trainer. What's wrong with that?
Oh, that's fantastic. I like that a lot.
Because you start getting yelled at after you fail like a few times, like lots.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just get tired of being yelled at. So you either turn the sound down and continue to fail, or you just want to shoot the trainer and move on with your life.
Yeah, you know, that sort of describes most of my educational career. I got sick of getting yelled at. Just turn the sound down. You know, except for the wanting to shoot them part, because I wasn't terribly violent. I just sort of like tried to muddle through as best I could.
Well, specifically the Call of Duty trainer.
I can imagine.
Because eventually Halo just gives up and just pushes you through the level.
Yeah, that was me.
That's what I appreciated about Halo. Halo will just, fine, okay, you can't shoot anything, go.
Yeah, I don't know. I never got pushed through. When I played Halo, my thing was, I'm just like, get me in a turret. Get me, I can understand a turret. That way I only have to use three joysticks and four trigger buttons and the white button that's under my left thumb. Then I'm restricting myself. Xbox to me is like playing fucking Arcade Defender.
where you had 14 buttons. And
I was going to say, when they went to, like, after Super Nintendo and they went past four buttons, that really caused a problem, right?
No, it really did, because I'm like, guys, come on, fuck's sake.
I think even Super Nintendo, you look down and you're like, oh, really? Now? Really?
Yeah, but now this is just excessive, okay? This is getting excessive, and this is really not necessary.
Yeah.
You know, get me an Atari 2600 joystick or paddle any fucking day of the week.
Night Driver.
Yeah, Night Driver. Give me fucking Night Driver.
Come on.
I will rock the tits off of Night Driver, okay? And you could quote me.
What they should do is reverse engineer Night Driver and let you do the drunk driving mode.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
No, because remember they used to have the drunk driver in Night Driver.
Yeah, I do remember that. That's taken me back to the game, not drunk driving.
You'd have the thing where you turn the difficulty level up, and you'd have the swerving drunk driver in the game.
Wow.
That you had to avoid.
Yes. or as we called it down here, the Atlanta driving mode.
Ah.
Completely sober and yet twice as deadly.
Yeah, that's Turner Field mode.
Not for long.
No, it gets closer to your house then.
Yeah, yeah. Yet another reason to avoid that mall.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
I don't live there, it's fine.
I love Tuffley. He's like, yeah, I'm not over there, so fuck you. Good luck. Have fun.
You know what? I'll make it over to your house eventually. It doesn't matter to me.
I'll get there. Fuck you. I don't care.
I usually get stuck on 285 coming to your house anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, well, that's Atlanta.
See, that's why Edgar Wright actually quit Ant-Man. It wasn't Marvel. It was the traffic.
It was the fucking traffic. That's brilliant.
Sorry, Edgar, we tried.
Because it's so accurate. It's so accurate. You don't want to believe that it's true, but it's true. But yeah, it's the funniest thing for me is when people go, "Oh, you're from Atlanta. Do you know so and so?"
So.
I'm like, you do understand that the metro area is roughly the size of the state of New Hampshire, right? Right?
Yeah. I've ridden around. I probably passed him on MARTA. It's fine. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Probably. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, Ted. Yeah, of course, Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. I love him. Has he ever done that party trick for you with the ferret and his pants? Because that's great. Have you seen that? Because that's awesome. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about.
He did that thing at the varsity. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just rattling off all the fucking tourist places. I was at the CNN Center doing that shit. That was crazy.
I know. Yeah, he almost got us arrested. You remember that? Oh, fuck.
The Flaming Lips show at the Centennial Park. Yeah, that was nuts.
That was nuts. That was almost dangerous. But you know what? It was fun at the same time.
Yes, that's usually how their shows go. That could be our Kickstarter.
What?
Oh God, what?
It'll let Rox and I like design the Flaming Lips show.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome. Actually, I'm surprised.
If they ever do a live show on the Sgt. Pepper's album they're about to do.
No. You know where they do it? They could do it at City Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all I'll say. Don't bring it up. Just don't.
Yeah, you guys have heard they're doing like the Sgt. Pepper's covers record they're about to come out with.
Who?
Yes, that was the third sign of the apocalypse I heard this week.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait, I thought the Bee Gees did that bad. Well, who did that one?
Oh, no. That was the movie, Rox.
Oh, God.
No, Rox, that was the movie.
Hold on a minute. Rox, why are you bringing this thing down?
Had to go Andy Gibb, didn't you?
Sorry. I actually saw that in the theater.
I'm so sorry.
I know.
But it's okay. You know, if you get the Earth, Wind, and Fire and Aerosmith cuts and detract everything else, you're fine.
That's pretty much it. Although, you know why she likes that? It's because Donald Pleasance
didn't see that.
I want you, she's so heavy. That's
wow.
That's all she Ooh. Wants it for.
Wow. Thanks.
You know,
I guess.
Oh, come on. Donald Pleasance Rex Harrisoning his way through a Beatles song is atrocious. It's
actually
enjoyable.
You know, Rex Harrison was alive. Why didn't they get him to do it?
Because he wasn't as sinister as Donald Pleasance.
Really? Have you not watched Dr. Doolittle? Come on.
There's some serious creepiness going on in Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah. Or even, oh my God, do you know what I saw the other, like, couple months ago was the Yellow Rolls Royce. Do you guys know that movie?
Jesus.
What?
Oh my God, you have a lot of free time.
Is that
I do.
Is that the Ken Casey, Rox, is that the Ken Casey version of Christine?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
However, it's one of those anthology kind of movies, and the common theme is this Yellow Rolls Royce. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's got Rex Harrison in it, and Ingrid Bergman, and, who played the gangster?
I forgot Ingrid Bergman was in
and Omar Sharif.
Oh, my God, he's in everything.
Yeah. Well, during that time, yes.
Yeah.
Was it Mel that was the gangster in the middle story? I can't remember.
I don't know, Rox.
I like that movie anyway. But, yeah, Rex Harrison could be creepy. He played a Nazi in Midnight Train to Berlin.
Georgia? Oh.
Yeah,
he really was. He wasn't playing one.
He was a pimp.
Yeah, I know. You know.
Rex Harrison was a member of Hydra.
Yeah. Wow. Long before. Yes, he was.
Him and Howard Keel were recruits for Hydra.
Wow.
Along with Shirley Jones.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Holy shit. Shit just got real.
Oh, that explains the Partridge family so much.
No, well, here's the thing. There's also the Howard Hughes connection with Hydra.
Oh, yeah?
Well, yeah, he funneled the money. And the thing is why do you think the Spruce Goose really didn't fly?
Because it didn't have you know what it was? They were trying to use the repulsor technology from Stark, and they didn't have it yet.
That's right. That's correct.
Yeah, that's totally it. That is totally it.
Yep.
Makes total sense.
It does.
I mean, not really, but yes.
Yeah.
We're just going to leave that lying there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like that pulsating thing. We've all learned not to go.
You know what? A lot of the jokes on Weekend Justice are exactly like a pulsating alien thing on the floor.
Just
stay away from it.
Yeah.
And I will say this, though. If you are like, well, you know what I've been missing in my life is more of those Guillermo del Toro trademarked head smashings a la Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, my God.
You get them. It's okay. It's all good.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't My Fair Lady, directed by Guillermo del Toro, be great?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
You know what?
The part where he shoved the bottle.
Oh, my God. No.
He could shove the bottle in somebody's eye. It would be awesome.
You know, her song, All I Want is a Room Somewhere on an octave lower and slower.
Yeah.
It'll be that much more creepier.
You know what? I'm still waiting for The Hobbit, directed by Guillermo del Toro.
I'm not.
You know what I would like
I'll be honest. I actually would have liked to have seen the one Hobbit film he would have done.
Yeah.
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 I agree.
I want to see it.
Honestly, if I've heard this right, he did write, the script he wrote was one film and the entire book.
Yeah.
Mostly because he was like, I want to get this shit over with. I'm so done. I just want to be done with this. It's only taken like 5 years to get into fucking production, the budget, nothing. I just want to get it done. Can we get it done, please?
It's just I don't like this office here that you gave me here in New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm far away from everything else. I mean, it's gorgeous here, don't get me wrong, but fuck.
Oh, my God. I wonder how much sponge they had to ship in.
No, that's the problem.
Rob, how much
sponge? They did put him in a hobbit house.
A lot.
How much sponge and Carlo the Fifth candy did they have to ship to New Zealand for Guillermo del Toro? This is actual Mexican candy. Yes.
None of that fake Mexican candy.
No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They had these giant, giant marshmallows we should have bought.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know, I should buy some and send them down for Dragon Con.
Actually, you know what? I had some over at the services house. We toasted them. And you know what? Here's the sad thing. They're really cool. Monster big. But as far as toasting, stick with the smaller ones. They're awesome. However, it takes longer to like char them properly. Now I want toasted marshmallows. But you know what, kids? It's creeping up on. Oh my God! There's my recommendation: toasted marshmallows. I'm done. Ding.
Ding.
No, really, I do have a recommendation.
I believe you.
All right. So are we going to do that?
Oh, we could go into recommendations if you wanted.
Considering the time,
meander that direction. Sure. I'm not going to.
It's not like I'm rushing anything.
Who am I to stop you? I mean, please, by all means, recommend something besides.
Okay. Besides I will recommend this because you had the story the last time about my adventures, of which I told my neighbors, and this is the first time they heard of it. About my foray into hitchhiking, which was abysmal. I got the idea from my nemesis, okay, because he steals stuff from me all the time, and that's John Waters. As much as I like him, love him as a tour de force in all things graphic and tawdry. Because I used to photograph stuff off the TV all the time. And then all of a sudden he had a show and off of the stuff that he photographed off of the TV, you know. And I'm like, you stole that from me. Without knowing me, you stole that. So I have his number. So.
John Waters, get out of Rox's head.
Yeah.
That's
so,
the new hashtag.
So,
well, we have a dining room.
After traveling for nearly a month and, you know, having prisoner transfer and, you know, riding the rails and riding the buses, what can I do? What would be exciting? So I thought, as I typed into my iPad, hitchhiking. And what did pop up? John Waters just published. Just got published. It was just released. Carsick. John Waters decides at 68 that he's going to hitchhike from his house in Baltimore to the West Coast with a sign saying, I'm not a psycho. I'm safe. I-70 to the end. Which got me thinking of all the things. Now, I've learned a thing or two while traveling the United States. Always have something to trade. Not necessarily money or anything, because then it becomes a strange transaction and people, you know, feel obligated to perform things. However.
Whoa.
Whatever.
or buy things.
Danger.
I found that I took with me several Sharpie markers. Okay. Have you ever noticed that the people who are along the sides of the road and they have signs, where do they get their markers? Do they steal them? Do they actually wait after they've panhandled enough and go into a Walgreens and purchase some more markers? I don't know. So what my thought was, I bought some markers, at least to thwart these people from stealing, so that when they would panhandle and say, hey, do you have some change? I would give them a Sharpie marker.
Rox, that's your nonprofit.
Nobody has ever. I bring this up to people. I have brought this up to any number of the states I've been in, and everyone like, oh, you're right. How come we've never noticed this? They must make their signs somehow. Yes, you can anybody can pick up, you know, a piece of cardboard, but it's the Sharpie marker, which gives you the really good black and everything, because they got time. They can fill in really thick letters and stuff. So he has this book. So it's broken up into imaginary rides, good rides, and real rides. And the real rides are the ones that there's some photos on, Google that these are people that he's actually picked, you know, that actually picked him up. And apparently he's actually been hitchhiking for years, you know, back in the 70s and stuff. So the book is, it's as good as his role models book, which he goes in, because here's the thing. He has to write now. He has to write because he can't make a film under $2 million. It is impossible for him. Huh. So even if he wants to write or, you know, create a film, he cannot. Due to liability and this, that, and whatever, he literally says he cannot bring forth. You know, there's no way that, you know, the old days of filming on a shoestring, such as even his films, he says it's very impossible because you put your name, John Waters, on it. You want Hollywood people jumping onto that. You know, he just doesn't have the cadre of weird freak people anymore because now it's, you know, I'm sure they're all, you know, sycophants of John Waters. That's why I'm keeping a distance from him, just so I don't seem like I'm a clinger on.
Well, that, and he's stealing your ideas anyway.
He's stealing my ideas anyway. So anyway, Carsick. So, okay, so I read a little bit of this book, and I'm like, I can do this. I was staying with my sister, and they were heading off to, of all places, Mexico. So I had free range of the house. So I'm reading this book. And then I was going to head out. I was going to go to Poughkeepsie. At Poughkeepsie, that's where you take the metro into Manhattan. It's like an hour and a half. So I'm like, well, you know, six one, half a dozen other. So I'm reading this book, and I'm like, I can do this. So I go back out of Poughkeepsie, downtown Poughkeepsie. They have this thing called the Hudson Walkover, and that's it. It's like, ooh, you can look at the Hudson River, but we haven't really established a really cool infrastructure for you to come into Poughkeepsie and spend money. But you can walk over it. Crazy. So I bike back up to where the interstate is. Now, I've been during all this time making sure I know what timetables there are, where buses come, stuff like that. So I don't really need to look at roads unless I'm biking. Don't need to. So I went to an art store, and I know some of you people are listening to the story again, but, you know, this is my take. So I make up a sign. Zeppelin broke down. Need ride west. So, and I'm thinking, I can do this, John Waters, because he brags. He literally brags that he can literally walk out his front door and hitch a ride. Okay. I was there for 45 minutes. On this road, it was hot.
It's fucking hot. And I got this sign, and I got my bike, and it's all steampunky and stuff. And I, you know I'm just, like, grimy. And even John Waters says in the book, you just get filthy. And I got my thumb out, and people are slowing down, and they're, like, looking at the sign. They're laughing, chuckling. And some will shrug. Most of them shrugged. Like, hey, we don't have room. Till this one lady finally slows down and, you know, as Serv says, you know, where are you going? I'm like, west, as far as you can go. I was excited because she stopped. She had an SUV. I knew my bike would fit in there. No problem. She's like, well, I'm heading north. In the interstates, north-south, you know, throughway. I'm like, oh, wow. And I look like, you know, all of a sudden you hear this news. So what do? You look left and right for, I don't know why, you just do it. You just go, ah, because you look at the other cars coming and they're going to get on the interstate going either north or south. And I'm like, how do I make this look good? Like I need to escape now because now it's like there's some nut job, you know, trying to get on a north side, trying to get away. So then I rode back to Poughkeepsie, which, you know, it's like a couple miles away. You know, it was a couple miles. That's the thing. You have to be a couple miles away from a town or a city for you to, like, hitch the best way. So anyway, there you go. Carsick, I will recommend it. I don't recommend not hitchhiking without a road map, at least to know that. Somebody said this. Who said this? Somebody gave them this idea. And they, John, he's not here. Okay. So how you know that interstates go left, right, or east, west, as I told somebody in Kansas as he's explaining the map, he goes, yeah, the roads go east, west. I'm like, okay, left, right. And he went, oh, dear God. And the name streets go north, south. I said up and down. And he went, okay, whatever. So east, west are even numbers. So I-70 goes from east coast to west coast. Okay. That's four letters. And then it's an even number. Okay, get it? And then odd numbers, like 95, that's an odd number. And you go north and south, and those are odd numbers. Got it? Got it? Good. Done. Even I'm still confused. Done. Dang. John's not here.
That's a ding.
John's probably listening, going, she's got it all wrong, I'm sure.
Oh, God. All right, who wants to go next, then?
Yeah, who dares go after me?
And can I, Rox, isn't there some, can't you look on this, isn't there like, if a moss is growing on a hobo, that's north, isn't that something?
Yeah. If moss is growing on a scab of a hobo...
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
Then you're going north.
important safety tip from Rox.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah. We need to make Monday happen. This will be fun.
Oh, God. So, Tuffley, you wanted to bravely go next?
I think I still do, yeah.
Okay, good.
So the clickable adventure PC game, remember those? They're coming back, apparently. There's the two seasons of the really, really excellent Walking Dead game from Telltale that I would recommend you check out. But the one I'm going to talk about right now is The Wolf Among Us, which is the game Telltale is the first game that Telltale is going to do based in the Fables universe. Yes,
oh.
Yeah. And so it focuses on Bigby. And it's a really good detective, kind of a detective game.
Now, is it all stills?
And no. It's there's animation going on. It's almost fully animated.
Huh.
And a lot of it, some of the when you're fighting as Big B, it's a quick time event, basically. Where you have to push certain buttons at a certain time to make it work. Walking Dead does the same thing when you have to fight the zombies. But the decision tree is actually interesting because, like the Walking Dead game, it records your choices so that as the episodes release later on, your choices add up. And what's interesting is I think the choices you make in Wolf Among Us actually are going to carry over into the possible next Fables game.
Huh.
If and when the next Fables game happens. But all five episodes of Wolf Among Us are out now. You can grab it on either PC, Mac, all the consoles. I think there's going to be if you'd like to wait and just get all the episodes together as a software release, I think that's going to be out I think maybe later this year, I think, because I know Episode 5 just came out just at the tail end of July for most of the consoles. But it's a really good series, and hopefully they will make more games in the Fableverse, because the comic is ending soon, and it would be nice to be able to actually play with it a little more. So Wolf Among Us from Telltale, check that out. Also, like I said, The Walking Dead. There's two seasons of that Telltale did. I believe they're going to do a season three. So that's been really good, too. So.
So the Fables one, is that cartoon? Like, is it done in the style of the comic? Or?
It's done in the style of the comic, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
So a lot of the Mark Buckingham-ish stuff, looking stuff is there. Some of the design, the character designs and stuff are there.
Oh, that's cool.
So really cool stuff, especially if you're into a comic. There's a lot of Easter eggs from the comic in there. So music. Well, I'll stick with comics for a second. The fourth issue of the Silver Surfer series is out for Marvel. And if you haven't been reading this, this is really, really fun book. This is a really fun book. Mike Allred and Dan Slott have been doing this. But it's the fourth issue is really good. I've been talking about the Kirby-esque sort of impressions that Allred does in his art, but he gets to draw Hulk and Strange in this issue, and the Guardians show up, obviously, because there's a tie-in. But the Guardians show up, and Hulk and Strange, he gets to draw them in it, and it just looks so great. But Silver Surfer, it's a really fun book, so I'll recommend that. And I'll also recommend there is a record coming out, I believe, in about 2 weeks. Actually, in the UK, it's already out now. I think it's out in rough trade from Benjamin Booker and his debut album, which is self-titled. Really good, really bluesy, kind of raw, bluesy kind of rock, which I like. And that's, like I said, I think that's out this week in the UK on Rough Trade. It comes out over here, I think it's ATS, ATO, it's ATO. It's the Dave Matthews label, ATO. And it should be out, I think, on the 19th. So I think it'd be next week, get it next week. But it's a really good record. And another one that I will recommend really quickly is a band, two guys out of Bristol, called Royal Blood. Really hard, really loud stuff. It's a self-titled debut album. That's going to be out, I believe, in about 2 weeks here. I think it's already out in the UK. Really good stuff if you like really loud monster riff stuff as well. And I think that'll do it for me right now.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Tuffley. Rob, what you got?
I have, thankfully, Tuffley did not steal this because I would have tried to beat him. I have El Pintor, which is the new record from Interpol.
Yeah, you're sort of breaking up a little bit.
There we go. Is that better? There.
Slightly.
Sorry, I was slouching with the sound.
That's okay.
I'm going to recommend El Pintor, which is the new record from Interpol. And a lot of people, I don't know, definitely maybe you can chime in on this, but a lot of people have been kind of worried about Interpol lately because the last couple of records have sort of been okay but kind of dragged. But this one sounds much more like their first one.
Well, didn't they have bassist problems the last two records?
I think so, yeah.
They couldn't really get a they couldn't really keep a bassist. I think that that was the problem. So
yeah.
So I think the lighting may be stabilized now.
Yeah. But yeah, I do recommend that strongly. It's really solid and it's really great. Also, since we've lost Lauren McCall, I do want to recommend her movie with Humphrey Bogart, To Have and Have Not, which is if you want to see an actor and actress have really great on-screen chemistry, you may want to see that. John probably won't see it because he didn't like Casablanca. So I do recommend that. And also, sadly, Robin Williams has died. And trying to pick just one Robin Williams film to like is an absolutely horrible task. So I will tell you, if you've never seen The Fisher King, you are greatly missing out. And if there's ever a film that needs a Criterion release, I'm voting for that one because I just think it would be great.
Have they not done it?
They haven't. I don't think they have, no.
Huh.
But if there was ever one that was perfect for a Criterion release, it would be The Fisher King. So I do want to recommend that. And, you know, I went back and watched it a couple of weeks ago without realizing what was going to happen. But Good Morning Vietnam is actually a really solid film. So I do recommend both of those. And that's it. I'm done. Ding.
Okay, Rob, I checked. They did do a Criterion of it, but it was Laserdisc.
Really? Oh, fuckers.
Yeah. And I believe
I imagine they'd be re-releasing it now.
Well,
sadly.
Well, see, part of the problem is let me see. Did they what was the special features on this? Let me see. If no, that's not it. Because the thing is a lot of the really obnoxious things about the Laserdiscs from Criterion is that they have commentaries and stuff that that never got reprinted. And I believe there is a Gilliam commentary on the Laserdisc.
Ooh.
Yes, that is correct. Now, I will say this. There are ways of finding these commentaries. Not that I would know anything about them. But
hypothetically.
Hypothetically, if there were some place called, say, the Internet – or as I like to give it the code name, Joe's Cafe, you could go look and ask Joe about where to find such things. And if there was only, say, an MP3 format that audio could be in, you could sync it with the version of Fisher King that you have and watch it. I'm just saying. So, yeah, there are if you ever want to – I will say, hypothetically, there are some other great Laserdisc Criterion commentaries, like, say, The Princess Bride has one. And, of course, if you really want to go obscure, hypothetically speaking, get a bunch of friends together and some drinks and listen to the band James Bond commentaries from Criterion. They did the first. Wow. They did the first three James Bond films on Criterion, on Laserdisc, with commentaries, with, like, the director and the cinematographer. And I don't know that they knew that they were going to be recorded and what the recording was going to be used for, because the commentaries are frighteningly candid. Candid to the point where MGM said, no, no, make that go away. And they pulled the laser discs and removed the commentaries, but then Criterion tried to sell them as a cassette tape to go along with the laser disc, and MGM said, fuck no, we said make that go away. And I will say that hypothetically, had I somehow run across these, I could tell you that hypothetically, one of the most innocent things that they said was in the scene in Dr. No where Sean Connery gets out of bed, puts a towel around himself, and goes to investigate a noise that he's heard. There, you hear, I want to say it was the director saying, oh, yes, well, you see this scene. Well, you know, on set, Sean really likes to eat.
And by this point in the production, he had sort of gotten a little bit of a paunch, you know. And so when he got out of bed, he had to suck in order to keep looking like the Bond figure and get that towel around himself. So, yeah, things like that.
Wow.
They are amazing.
Now, I know there. I don't know which interview that is, but there are snippets of that. The Bond DVDs that came out for the 50th anniversary.
Really?
They re-released that I know that they aren't – MGM doesn't quite give up all of the sources of their interviews, but all of the commentaries are like interview mashups.
Well, I severely doubt they released a lot of those since, you know, you especially had them talking about how Ian Fleming would come to Jamaica and they'd all get high together. So I think it's probably – They probably kept a lot back. I'm just saying.
No, but I'm thinking. I know they don't tell you the sources of the interviews. So I know some of that stuff may be in there, but I don't think the most salacious stuff is probably kept out.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
but it is fantastic because about every 5 minutes you're going, wow. So yeah, there's my non-recommendation because, of course, you can't get those, even if they did exist, and I wouldn't know where to tell you to go get them. Go see Joe. Okay, what? Sorry, who was – oh, you, it was Rob. Rob, you were talking about Criterion for Fisher King. So and Rob, yes. You were done, yes?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Okay, what am I going to recommend? I will recommend that, again, talking to my good friend Joe – apparently, I have said many things about radio and how I don't like a lot of DJs. And like Rob is the only DJ that I will listen to because most DJs aren't as good as the shuffle on my iPod/iPhone. Because, you know, if you're going to be like, you know, oh, Beastie Boys followed by John Coltrane, followed by Rollins Band, followed by, you know, again, you know, Diablo Swing Orchestra from Finland or something like that. If you want to get crazy like that, you know, Baba Mall following that, yeah, then maybe you can hang. However, alongside Rob, I now would hold up Iggy Pop as a DJ that I would listen
yeah.
to.
Because his music show?
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And to be fair, you guys probably told me about this. And again, I have no short-term or long-term memory anymore. So I just stumbled upon them myself. And it was incredible. First of all, to hear him talk about the music that he's playing.
Yeah.
But to have him go from here's, you know, J.S. Bach to Sinatra to oh, God. I don't even know. What's that?
Leibach or something, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a crazy mix of stuff.
Well, the thing is, he's currently filling in for Jarvis Cocker, who took a year off.
Really?
Yeah, he's filling in for Jarvis Cocker's show. He took a year off, partly to do the solo record and just partly because he had been doing his show for 3 years. But right. Iggy Pop is filling in, is basically the Iggy Pop show is filling in for Jarvis Cocker's show.
It's amazing.
And Chrissy Hynde has one too.
Oh yeah, is she? Are they now? I know Iggy's on like every other week. So are they interspensing these now?
I want to say no, but they might. Because
it's,
might well
it's Jarvis's Sunday slot, which is all these things are going in. So I don't know, because I know Iggy's on every other week. He's not on every week.
But it's amazing. He played a version of Kind of Blue once. He was like, oh, and this session was Miles Davis, but John Coltrane happened to be here, so he sat there on the two. Here they are playing, and you're like, wait, what? Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
And yeah, it's on live Sunday afternoons, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the exact.
And they go to the Radio 6 website and hear him, and he's also got the amazing gift that every DJ needs. He's an amazing storyteller in a
yes.
very short amount of time.
Yes. So that it is just an amazing show. I mean it ranks up there with the other thing I would tell you to go find if you've not already listened to Desert Island Discs, which is fantastic, is to go find the Alice Cooper show of that, because his choices, you just go, wow, really? You would never guess. Well, that's what it was. He was playing some Grover Washington, and he said, yeah, I told my wife I was going to play some Grover Washington on the show, and she was like, how do you know about Grover Washington? And he said, I told her, I said, hey, just because I'm Iggy Pop doesn't mean I don't know Grover. That's fantastic. That your music choices are so eclectic, they surprise even your wife. That's amazing. So the BBC Six Music site is a great place to find it, and they are definitely worth hunting down, because it is so great, and the stories are so great. Even when he's like, you know, he'll go, and it'll be, and that's all I know about that. Now here's the next song. I just enjoy it. So,
It's live Sunday afternoons, and then you can pick it up like any day within 7 on the iPlayer.
Right. Is that iPlayer worldwide, or is that iPlayer through something like Tunnel Bear?
No, that's iPlayer worldwide. Six okay. Music, the on-demand for Six Music is free.
Okay.
So it's seven. I think it's you get 7 days after the initial airing.
Okay.
And then they decide to occasionally throw other episodes back out in the archives. I think the Iggy show, I think all of the episodes, I think, are still out there on the archive that you can pull up on demand. I think they're keeping them up for a while. So
cool.
Or at least last I checked, they were. I don't know if they're doing that now, but I know all of the shows at one point had been.
Very cool. Well, however you get to it, do so, because it's so good. Also, I want to call attention to the fact that season 4 of Boardwalk Empire is coming out next week. So that is definitely something to check out as we move towards the final season of that,
mm-hmm.
Which is both sad and understandable.
I think it will be good.
I hope it will. I think we discussed, I had some problems with the past 2 seasons, more season 3 than.
No, I meant on the level of, I'm glad they're not continuing, because, you know, they're going to run into Prohibition being gone.
Well, and I mean, on one hand, I would love to see them keep going, simply because I would love to see what happens to these characters and to the Empire once that goes, because we know that it diversified, you know, into right. drugs and other things.
Yeah.
So on one hand, I would sort of love to see it, you know, Nucky fall by the wayside and other characters come in and it keep going. I mean, yes. but you know, it's kind of like Centennial, but with guns, you know. kids, ask your parents. So, but that is coming out. That is next week, and I believe that is my only home video recommendation. So there's my music and there's my video. So enjoy that. Wow.
Ding.
Ding. Well, you know, I think we've come sort of slouching towards the end of another episode of Weekend Justice. And I say this usually knowing that there's another 10 minutes of somebody bringing up something else, and then we just go into Divergenceville for another, you know, 3 hours, and then I have to edit it down to 3 hours. But
it's these notes. We're trying to, you know.
I know. We're trying to get everything
together. We're trying to beef up the best of show.
Yeah.
No worries about that.
I have all these notes on Carthage, and we never brought it up.
Well, I thought we were trying to keep your involvement plausibly deniable.
Well, I know, but we also talked about.
Are those the green pages? Because we are on the green pages now.
Yes. Yeah, okay. We're on the green pages. And okay. Also, I got it. Now, did you guys know not to talk about Cromwell and time travel, right?
Now, is that Oliver this time or James?
Oliver, because we're talking about, like, Christmas and saving Christmas at one point.
Well, that's for a later episode.
Well, I know, but somehow Doc made a notation on mine.
Whoa, okay.
It's a pink sheet. You got a pink sheet?
No, I don't.
Oh.
Oh, we're doing the pink sheets again.
No, yeah. I mean.
Oh, no, this one was
sent in the mail.
Oh, okay. Well, this is when it starts to get real, because when we got the pink sheets, that means you know things that other people don't.
Well, that goes without saying.
I think the pink sheet applied to the last episode.
Well, I wasn't on the last episode.
I know. That's why.
You know what? It was that Oliver Cromwell was supposed to travel forward in time to take you back to the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that's happening.
I think
later.
We just wrote a Terminator movie. I don't know what just happened.
I think we did.
We will cancel Christmas.
I think what happens is that Rox has to go back in time to find Joe Morton, who created Scott, and destroy them.
Our Scott?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. You know, all I have to do is take a bus to Tallahassee and get that done. In theory.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, or you could do the John Cleese method. Have you seen his alimony tour?
No, I have not.
It's quite amusing. But he was talking about how his mom was like just afraid of everything and just thought was just like tired of life and would always say, "Oh, I'm so tired. I don't know." And he finally got to the point where he was like, "Now you know, Mom, if you're so tired of everything, I know a man and I can't remember what the name was, but let's just say, you know, I know a little man in Manchester who could come and bump you off." And she just thought that was the funniest thing ever. And so every time she would start to get low or something, you would say, "No, do I need to call the little man in Manchester?" She's like, no. The other thing he said about his mom was, he says, "Well, you know, you'll miss me when I'm gone." To which John said, "No, mother, I'm going to have you stuffed and put in my foyer." And she would tell people, "Well, my son's going to have me stuffed and put in his foyer."
Wow.
You need to see that, Rox. That would appeal to you.
Oh, you know what? Actually, somebody should tell John Cleese to have his mom stuffed and put him into Bleak House, which is owned by Guillermo del Toro. Did you ever see that book?
Yes.
And he's got these life-size statues. So basically, his mom should really live in Guillermo del Toro's studio house.
That's the strangest version of It's a Small World after all, ever.
Isn't it? Oh, wow. My God. Yeah. Do you know what? To me, I'm sorry. You know, if you have a library, if you want to have one, the last thing, you know, you stumble in the dark, you're trying to find the bathroom, and there's a fucking life-size statue of H.P. Lovecraft, which the man, it was not a pretty-looking guy. He's got that lantern jaw, and it's fucking creepy. Really? Really? That's just... Thank God it's just like this little clubhouse home that he's got, you know, because there's no way anyone can live there. As cool as... this place is as a studio, library, whatever house, you know, he couldn't get a regular storage unit. He had to one up everybody.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Everybody else in the world's got a fucking storage unit. And it's like, "Hey, look, I've got statues of freaks and things."
You're just jealous, Rox.
I am, because, you know, I could have John Cleese's mom stuffed and have her here at my house if he so desires.
Yes, it
will. Oh my God! Do you know what? This is perfect. Somebody send this off to John Cleese if he so would do this. If he does stuff and, you know, taxidermies his mom, he could to allow for the alimony thing. He could rent her out.
Oh, wow.
I was just about to ask what the going rate for John Cleese's mom would be.
You know, like, I don't know. A week would be, what, $500? You know, it'd be like, that'd be awesome. She's got a little handbag. All I can picture is she looks like the queen. Well, you know, because he's of that age, you know, all women during that time period dress like the queen. So she's got this little handbag and, you know, hunched over. She's probably like 4 foot. She's probably like a hobbit, you know, because he's tall. And, you know.
Wow.
And you put her in your foyer and stuff, or your library, in my library. So somehow let's contact his agent on this one.
Well, let's have a Kickstarter to stop like
Kickstarter.
John Cleese's
mom. Oh my God, yeah. Can you imagine? You know what would be really cool? I'm surprised somebody hasn't done it. Is like make,
I'm sure
make
there are places on the internet
videos.
Where stuffing John Cleese's mom is actually a topic of discussion.
I don't
know. Is making just quit, you know, the videos.
My new ska band is going to be called Stuffing John Cleese's Mom.
Which, well, the Margin Nixon record.
Yeah, which is not as rude as it sounds, to be honest. I mean, it's just not. So,
hey, as long as the band can do a cover of an Asia song,
because it all comes back around, folks.
It all comes back around.
It has to, by law.
Because, you know, going left and right of the United States is even, and then up and down is.
Sad
Shut
thing
up,
is way
Rob.
Different here. Hey.
I know, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I've been gone so long, and Scott's not here for me to abuse. So. It's you.
Thank you. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Your Weekend Justice number 221, Erkatusk Smith and the Temple of Doom, was a production of NeedCoffee.com. The show is engineered and produced by John Boutel. The league roster for this podcast was, in order of how many times they've been the creepy thing that people unwittingly walked right up to, John Boutel, Rocks of Spaz House, Tuffley, Rob Levy, Scott C., Serve, and Lee. This episode was directed by Alan Smithy, from a script by Doc Ezra and Dindrain, with the pink sheets provided by Ivan Pokubov and Alexander Kolchak. The one who served as the podcasting Sisyphus was me, Widget Walls. Special thanks to everyone who sponsors the site and makes shows like this possible. If you've already set up your easy reoccurring micropayment at needcoffee.com/support, then you are rolling karmic double sixes every single time. If you haven't given, though, it's never too late. Go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coins in the virtual tin. Thanks in advance for doing that. It really helps us out. And did we tell you to come say hi to us when you see us at DragonCon? Please do. We love to meet you guys. Although we'll be in con mode and a bit crazy, we promise we're mostly harmless. Well, I can't speak for Scott. Anyway, here's the coda.
It's so lonely.